Himself, Christ is revealing himself unto me. He opened mine eyes, and now I can see. Just bow our heads and close our eyes with a prayer. Blessed be his wonderful name. We're certainly thankful to be here. We have a few requests we'd like to make mention of at this time, and also to invite you if you have a special request. Just have faith and believe God. Amen. Brother Rollock is asking for prayer on behalf of his mother, who is present here. She has a speech problem since she suffered a stroke some years ago, and he is asking that she be remembered in prayer. We want to unite our hearts and hold his request before God this morning. Prayer is requested for Brother Lester Antoine's family, suffering vomiting and diarrhea, and he's unable to be in service today, so we want to remember them also. Sister Saya Jones requesting prayer for a friend, a very severe domestic problem. She witnessed to her and told her that she's going to bring this request, so we want to remember that also. But Anselm Hector requesting prayer for his father, suffering with his stomach and unable to eat, very aged man, and I know it will be very distressing for them, so we want to remember that also. And even Kurt Quagrell in a backslidden condition, but in the house of God, want to remember that also. Let us look unto him who knows and understands. Let our faith be lifted up to know that it is by his divine grace that he made a way for us to be here in his house today, gathered together with believers of like precious faith. And his word says, where two or three is gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So as we pray, let us remember these requests. And if you have a special request, maybe an unspoken request, I want to encourage you to hold that in your heart as well. And look unto him. He promises to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. He is faithful who promised. Almighty God, we thank you, Father, for this blessed opportunity that we could come and gather together in your divine presence on this Sunday. God, knowing that we look forward to this time, that we were going to be gathered here together, and we've come with no other motive and objective but to worship you. As your word says, come into your courts with praise and enter into your gates with thanksgiving. And gracious Father, we are so thankful for the blessed hope and the blessed assurance that we have through your divine promise, and which we hold in our hearts, and which God has been a great encouragement unto us, to know that you cared for us, And as we come and gather together, Lord, that we can make our requests known unto you with joy. We can cast our cares upon you because you care it for us. And Father, these requests have been read in your divine presence. And Lord, I just say with that, I lay my hands upon these written requests. And no doubt, Lord, there are many within your gates this morning that are holding in their hearts, Lord, requests of different needs. And Lord God, we all look unto you, Father, who gave this promise to us that when we stand praying, whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, he will grant it unto us. And gracious Lord, I pray that Lord God, you would minister to each and everyone that is in your divine presence. Lord God, knowing that you are the high priest who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities, and dear God, may the Holy Spirit move amongst the people, oh God, and may you grant unto them, Father, what they have need of today. I pray, Lord, from the greatest to the least, that there will not be any, oh God, that would go back to their homes, but with a full assurance in their hearts, Lord, with a witness of your Holy Spirit, that, dear God, you saw that need, Lord. You honored your faith. Oh God, and your Holy Spirit, Lord God, has given back a witness unto them. Father, you have heard and you have answered. I pray, dear God, that you would touch each and every one this morning. Whatever the need is, Lord, them, oh God, who is in a backslidden condition, come into your house, they would find mercy. They would find that door opened. Lord God, they would find that fountain flowing with blood. They would find that blood as fresh as ever. And an heir attentive to their supplication. Quick, oh God, to blood of their transgressions through sincere repentance, Lord. God, even them standing on behalf of a friend. Lord God, in great need. Lord, one who may not even know you, but Lord, a believer standing on behalf of a friend. Oh God, Lord God, we'd see your great hand move on the scene, Lord. We'd see you break the power of the enemy. We'd see, Lord God, through the faithful prayers of your people, Lord, on behalf of this situation, that they'll be able to go and find a change, Lord God, in that condition, Lord. They'll find the Holy Spirit at work. Oh God, in the heart of that person, in the midst of that home, bringing such a deliverance, Lord, that only you can give. Almighty God, my brother Lester, Antoine, this family, I pray, dear God, that Father, there will be a speedy recovery. Lord God, your healing hand will touch those children, Lord. Drive all their affliction in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray that even them that are standing here, faith would fall into their hearts this morning. It would not just be a written request, but it would be a believing heart. Stand in, dear Lord. Oh God, knowing that you are true to every promise, that whatsoever we ask, we shall have it, for that is your promise. Heaven will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of your word shall in any wise fail. Oh my God, I pray there be such a moving of your Holy Spirit in our midst today. We have come with hungry hearts, Lord. God, we have come confessing our sins. We have come with our eyes fixed, oh God, towards heaven. Lord, looking unto you to hear you speak to us today, that your word would make this hour so plain to us, would bring your presence so close to us, would make your promise so alive to us. Dear, be to the church of faith. Strike the hearts of your people today, Lord, that will give them power to possess every gate of the enemy. We cause sinners, oh God, to come under conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to seek deliverance of their sins, Lord. Oh, God, would make your blood so fresh and so real, oh God, there will not be any sitting here under condemnation, but it will find, oh God, deliverance, Father. We'll find the Holy Spirit, Lord, speaking unto them, Lord, leading them out of all darkness and bringing them to walk in the light, that they can have fellowship with you, Lord. Oh God, how we long to see your church aflame with the fire of the Holy Spirit. How we long to see your church in this hour, Lord, mounted up with eagle's wings, focus to the promise, Lord, setting the course, marching in the rhythm of the word. Lord, we are looking for another wave of your Holy Spirit amongst us, and we pray that there will be a blast from heaven this morning. Lord, we'll sweep through this place, Lord. We'll give you the charge of the dynamics to the mechanics in the hearts of your people. Oh God, we see the darkness settling everywhere around the world, conflict, political tensions everywhere. But your promise, Lord, when all these things are happening, is the hour of deliverance for your church, dear God. May there be such a moving of the Spirit. bringing such a deliverance this morning that when your people leave here, they will leave here praising God. The Lord God, the lukewarm, Lord, they'll be fanned and be filled with your holy presence, Lord, never to be lukewarm again. Oh God, them that are disenchanted, oh God, you'll bring them back to their first experience. Bring them back to a real revelation of the lateness of the hour, which caused them to be more involved, to participate with a greater participation, Lord. Then the lagging behind, Lord, would catch up this morning, Lord, would be determined, Lord, that they are not going to be left behind. Like Elisha, he said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh God, may the world create such a desire in the hearts of the people for the promise that they will not let go like Jacob. They will say, I will not let you go except you bless me, Lord. There will be a desperation in the hearts of your people. Oh God, may faith be so inspired that every problem that the devil is trying to magnify, Lord God, they will see it as it is and see how great their God is to take care of every situation. Oh God, let the word of God have such an effect in the hearts of the people, and let the church be the church in this hour. Oh, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Father. May the Holy Spirit be poured out and fill every heart to overflowing. Grant it, Lord. We come expecting it, Father. We need it, Lord. Oh God, we come determined to receive it, willing to pay the price, Lord. Lay aside every weight to get up close into your presence. Search our hearts today and bring us, Lord, to a greater realization and a deeper experience. We pray and we ask it for thy glory, for our assistance, in the precious almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Could we say amen? Amen. Praise be unto his wonderful name. I invite your attention to the book of St. Matthew. We want to read out here this morning, chapter 20. Also Revelation 7, as we continue this little series that we started on the seal of God and the mark of the beast, and try to go on a little more. Amen. It's in Matthew 20. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Let's just get ready to go right into the word and make much use of the time we have here together today. The building is already quite hot, but may God help us cool it off and just cool you off and get you so focused in the word you wouldn't know nothing else but just God speaking to you. Amen. Amen. I hope you come expecting to receive from him. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is an householder, who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, come you also into my vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did the same. Notice those different times, early in the morning, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle. That's the last hour of the day. And said unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall you receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, know that singular, call the laborers and give them their hire. In the emphatic dialogue, it says, call the laborers and give them the wages as they have. Give them the wages. Beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when they first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny.
And when they receive it, they murmured against the householder, saying, these lads have worked about 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, who have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. I'd like to read Revelation 7. Again, we had it last week. And we were just really taking the seal of God last week, but we're going to take a little more out of Revelation 7 than just the seal of God and the things in the forehead. Revelation 7. You know, Revelation 7 is between the 6 and 7 seal. Well, Revelation 6, 12 to 17 is the 6th seal, and Revelation 8, 1 to the 7th seal. And this is an interval between the 6th and 7th seal, and it reveals the happening is a calling and a sealing of God's elect. Revelation 7. Let's look at it closely, because this ties the whole Bible together right here. As I always said, it's one of the most remarkable scriptures in the entire Bible. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And does anybody know what the winds represent in the Bible? War and strife. Amen. These are all there's so much war and strife. They just show they're being let loose again. They've been held. They've been let loose again. Amen. That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And some of that breeze, some of the winds blow through this place. Just recently. Amen. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard a number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Let us pray one more time. Our gracious Father, as we endeavor to open your prophetic word and read it this morning. We have done what we were able to do through an education, making us literate that we can read. But that is about as far as our ability can go, Lord, because now we need the operation of the Holy Spirit, the author of the word, that the very revelation that is condensed and lays here can be quick and inspired to us. You said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Then speak to us, Holy Spirit, and may your word bring faith to our hearts with a clear understanding of it. We can see the hour we are living in, know how to live and how to walk and how to serve in this hour. Well, that is our sincere desire, and we pray and ask it as we wait in that presence. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Well, we want to welcome everyone in the house of God this morning, and may God give you the desire of your heart as you sit in His presence today. May He bless you, that if you're not a Christian, you realize God loves you and cares for you so much. And if there's a problem or there's a situation in life, may He deliver you from it. That you would see that He cares for you and He wants to bring you to a better life. That there will be something real happen to you while you sit in His presence today. And you will know what a blessing it is to come in the house of the Lord. Like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That you could come and you could inquire of Him in His temple. You could behold His beauty in His sanctuary. Amen. You could hear His word as it comes forth and You can receive the faith that it will take the pleasing and to serve him in this hour.
Amen.
I have a few announcements I would like to make, and quickly, you know, we also want to welcome some of our visitors. We have one of Brother Andrew's friends invited to serve, Mr. Andrew Campbell, and God bless him. Brother El Pereira's brother, God bless him, and Brother Willock's mother and father. Yeah, we just had prayer offered for our brother's mother, and we trust that God will just really touch in a special way, then. And Sister Jenny Baldu from the Church of Aruka, may God bless her. So if you have any more strangers and visitors, we sorry we can get a holy name, but we like to make our visitors feel welcome when they come in the house of God. And that it will always be known that, you know, you come in the house of God, that there's a warm welcome, and you feel accepted, and you feel blessed. Sometimes you go to places, and say, I will never go to that place again. You know, Jesus came into a place one time, and he sat there with dirty feet, and he was ignored, and he was all sunburned, coming through the hot, dusty roads, and then he sat here, and then, as a matter of fact, the priest got down and began to criticize him. And then he turned around and said, when I came, nobody even greeted me, nobody even gave me a warm welcome, nobody washed my feet, nobody did this, and they was criticized because this woman was there attending to him. And he said, that man is a prophet, you will know what kind of woman is that. She's a prostitute. But then we find out, he says, but since I've come, she hasn't ceased to show his attention, and he gave her a blessing, amen? So we know that how hard it is, that even when the Lord was made to feel unwelcome, he was really hurt by it, and so he wouldn't like to make none of his people, whether they are serving him or maybe not yet taking the stand to serve him, we would not like to make them feel unwelcome at all. We like to make them always feel welcome, especially when they come to the house of God, because there are many good things to say unto them in this hour that we are living in. Amen. And we have a couple of notes of praises. Sister Ramnaran would like to thank the Lord for healing her heart from a stroke after Brother Eddie Weston and Brother Steve Waters prayed. She was on drips with a swollen artery in her head and was unable to walk, and the doctor had given up to die. Now she's 70% well, she said. Amen. So she's on the road to recovery, and thank God for two faithful deacons who can lay their hands and pray for her. Amen. Amen. Just like testimony like that. Amen. And may God bless her and give her a full recovery. Sister Matthew would like to thank the Lord for healing a left knee of a torn ligament after prayer was offered. So God is a prayer answering God. Amen. He cares for you. And you can trust him in smaller things, you get faith to trust him in greater things. Amen. Also, we have a important announcement here from the trustee board. The trustee board would like the saints to know the decision inspection that in the building would be Monday tomorrow. And, you know, as I said, the brothers are working very hard in the building to have it, to see progress being made, and we be able to advance as fast as we could. Because daily we are really coming in very stressful conditions here, every service. And the electricians did a lot of extra work here trying to get everything set and have an early inspection. And the inspection will be tomorrow. So that was the last thing left before the ceiling could begin to be put on. The last thing, all the wiring, all the pipe and everything is run up inside of here and everything. So it's just the ceiling to board it up now. And that brings us right to our responsibility of trying to complete and fulfill our commitment of having it ready. Because we're way behind time. We've been having one service a week, so we've not been able to keep you updated. Many things can happen during the week to put your mind on different things, but at the same time, we help save you a lot of expenditure by not coming to the house of God 3 and 4 times a week. So at the same time, God knows how to work things out for you, that everything could be right on stream by the grace of God. Amen? So the trustee board is reminding you of the ceiling contribution. So by tomorrow, the ceiling inspection would be taking place, and we need to begin boarding it up, and let us live up to our commitments. Amen? So we're now about the halfway mark, just slightly over the halfway mark, and we still need about $30,000 to finish it. And we different ones have made the pledges, so it's not a matter of pulling for money or anything like that. It's just to pay up the pledge, and it's all on the way. So the next thing is people to see the trustees after service. Brother Sanchez and Brother Joseph Bernard for work on Friday. Friday is a holiday, And we are trying to make as much progress as we could. There's a lot of other duties for unskilled labor. So we would like many of you to be free on Friday. If you have any other engagements or anything, to be here, that we want to plant some of the trees and we want to do some work along the place and a lot of cleanup and different things. And if the announcement is not maybe completed, I need to call maybe certain names or it'll be forwarded to you before the service is over. Is that clear? Amen. So just please, let's try and fulfill that commitment, because we don't want to be behind on this season. So let's go right to the word. So let me see, we have some people here that have been away. Sister Susan Russ, back from vacation. We're glad to have her back. Tony last night, I believe. And Brother Kenny has been away also. And they came in sometime in the middle of last week. So we're glad to have these brothers, this brother and sister back. They're away from service for some time, and even away while the country was in turmoil under the crisis. I guess they were just eating apples and grapes and enjoying the vacation. God bless them for it. Amen. Maybe they have such a busy schedule and attention filled year. God though just went to take them aside and get them a little rest and quietness while others go through their portion of it. Amen. So God cares for us all. Amen. Some to the water, some to the flood, some to the fire, but all to the blood. We thank God for all to the blood this morning, and I need another plunge in that blood by His grace. Amen. So I'm trusting that He will do it for us all and just plunge us in that crimson flood that washes whiter as than the snow. Amen. And, you know, last week I started a little series on the seal of God and the mark of the beast, and we take basically for a title last week, the seal of the living God, and for a subject we were dealing with the seal book and the seal bride, and we show that God always seals up His word and He seals up His people, because God has a seal and He uses His seal. And we took it in a very fundamental way last week, and I'm going to try to recap a little bit for some of the strangers and maybe some of the saints who was unable to be here last week, so that we can have our minds in the channel that we are trying to communicate to you, the things that we are impressed with at this time and is trying to bring to the assembly, because the seal of God is most important for us at this time, especially with destruction moving all over the world, especially the judgment, the wrath of God being poured out. The only thing is not commanded to strike is them that have the seal of God in their foreheads. So when you see the slaughtering angels begin to move in and destroy, you better know that you need to be marked with that seal in your forehead. And the Bible says, as you read here in Revelation, God said, hold them wings, that they would not hurt the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, nor the people of God. Amen. Until we have sealed up the elect. Then when we seal them away, then you can let them go and let the end of all flesh come. But until that time, we can't just destroy the righteous with the wicked. He says, so we got to move in there. And you know, it's so beautiful, because what I want you to see is how, you know, God is in control of every situation. And I trust that through the preaching of the word this morning, it would stimulate faith in your heart. It would create a desire to desire what God has promised to give unto you. If you have it, you will want more of it. If you don't have it, you will desire it with a passion. Amen. That you'd be willing to do anything to get it by the grace of God. You know, sometimes we have a desire, but it's not an intense desire. It's not a painful desire. It's not a desire that has a control and has an influence over us. Amen. But Samson had such a desire to see the power of God come back into his life that he said, Lord, let me die with the Philistines. He was willing to see the power of God come back, and there was no price too great to pay. If it demanded his very own life, he was willing to lay down his life that the will of God could be fulfilled in that hour. And the prophet of God cried out, oh, if only that desire could come to the church of God again. What a responsibility we have as preachers, as believers, to provoke one another unto love and good works. Amen. To have a desire like this in a day when man is desiring so many things. Man, the politician desires political ambition, political success. The man in the financial world, he desires money and how to make more of it. The man in the line of education, he desires to become a greater scholar than he has been and further his studies and get a degree and go to a greater degree, on and on. But a Christian is designed to become more filled with the Spirit of God, especially when you see the world falling apart. Amen. There is such a desire, amen, to live in His presence. The church in this hour, when they see the seven seal book has been opened, when they see the flashing red lights of the sign of His coming, when they see the sign of destruction in their hand, they have such a desire to see Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to see Him, to look upon His face, and hear the sing forever of His saving grace. When you see man who labored for so many things, man who get position, man who get power, man who has money and wealth and fame, when you see these things could be so quickly, in a flash of a moment, be taken away from a man and reduced to nothing, maybe laying on a bed, maybe laying dead, staring in the face, maybe dying with a disease that the doctors can't give no help to. Amen. Then it makes you realize how this world that we live in, amen, is so fragile. Everything seems to destroy. Everything seems to elude the grasp of a man. No matter what he sees and sets his heart upon, he seems to get a hold of it. He seems to begin to enjoy it. Then if it don't wither away and get away from him, he begins to die and have to leave it. Only what is done for Christ will last. Hallelujah! Oh! Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay, but seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. Oh, children, hold to God's unchanging hand. Bear your hopes and things eternal this morning. Oh, my. What could I leave for my children? Amen. What could help my children's hour except a life that could influence them? Amen. A life with footprints in the sands of time, with an example that can have an effect upon them, could lead them to an eternity where they live forever with Jesus Christ in an eternal kingdom that cannot pass away. Amen. Why would I try, amen, to neglect them? To neglect these things and put the emphasis on natural, material, temporal things. Why would I try to deceive them? Amen. To make them feel that this world is a nice place, is wonderful, and everything is secure. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's a great future here for them. Amen. I may be doing that if I didn't know the hour that we were living in. Hallelujah. For me to do that, I have to make Jesus Christ a liar first. And how could I make God a liar when the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie? Amen. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the day of Sodom, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Has the Son of Man been revealed? Glory. Are we living in the same kind of day like Noah? Well, then, as great as it was, it came to an end. As much hope the scientists and the bankers and the politicians tried to give the people when that prophet spoke and said, get in the ark or perish. Amen. That was the line. God drew the line. You see the bigger headlines in this week, Time and Newsweek. Time was saying, shut on. Amen. Newsweek was saying, drawing the line. All them politicians said, draw the line, man. Draw the line in the sun. You know when two fellas were in a fight long ago, you draw a line. Cross that line, you see something. Amen. Brother, man saying, now's the time to draw the line. You're going too far, man. We're going to flex our muscles and deal with this thing once and for all. So all of them get together to deal with a bully. Amen. They say there's a big bully in the Middle East. And they say we're going to deal with that bully. And they round up a posse, they say. They say long ago you get one man like the American president, you know, Reagan was talking about before. They say he will normally walk in like the lone cowboy to clean up the tongue. They say what President Bush, you know, what he does. He have a little more, playing a little different, because at a different time he rounds up a posse. Amen. You get England, you get France, you get Japan, you get the whole side. We're going to make a naval blockade and stand this thing off. Oh, brother, what is happening? There's winds of wars and strife everywhere. But I could hear the songs of His coming. It's getting louder and louder each day. Hallelujah. While you're looking at all them kings in the earth, I'm looking to the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Who is this Melchizedek? Glory be to God, but I come with bread and wine.
for his redeemed who have overcome the real battle, the battles of life. Hallelujah! Who have overcome the real enemy, their own self. Hallelujah! You are your own enemy. Your flesh, your human spirit. Hallelujah! Glory! So when we look and we see what the real battle, that's the battle. Your battle is not a flesh. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a different kind of battle. But the prolonged strongholds of reason and conscience, memory, affection, imagination, bring it into obedience. Bring the captivity. Amen. Glory to the obedience of Christ. Glory. Oh, my. I want to see my soul is dressed for battle. Yeah. Glory. But they're talking about blocking the deal of a bully. We're going to deal with a bully called Lucifer. Yeah. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. But God will bind him in a knot. Yeah. Hallelujah. Try to wrap up the church through 7 church ages. But in the last day, there's a super race. A super church with a super sign. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. What a showdown. It'll be a Mount Zion showdown. God have already drawn the line in this day. Who is on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? What an hour. I tell you, it's the most dramatic time in all Christendom. In all the days of Christianity, the best hour to serve God. Amen. How many glad they are Christian this morning? Amen. If you are not a Christian, this is your hour to become one. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. The Holy Spirit himself. The angel of the covenant is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that pillar of fire that come in the upper room. Is that right? That pillar of fire that come in the upper room was Jesus Christ. Paul saw that light, the same light. Amen. He said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Jehovah? Because he knew in his Bible that Moses, a prophet, met God in a pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire said, I am that I am. And when he saw that pillar of fire, he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, without controversy, without controversy, there's no argument, there's no debate, there's no strife. Hallelujah. Any man who tried to make it something else, but they know what he's talking about. He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory. And a man in his generation walking the dusty streets in his horse. Today it might be a motor car. Amen. Hallelujah. But he looked there and saw a brother hanging there, a ball of fire. Glory. That called him by his name. Saul, Saul. Just like he called Moses, Moses, Moses. Glory, I am come down. You look around and see so many things happening here today. Sure, you see that. You know, you're glad to understand what's happening. You see how it confirms the Bible and the time that we're living in. But the greater things, the greater happenings in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah! The real great things where God has been revealed, not in the eyes of the world. The world will not see me, but you will see me. The Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you into all truth. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you into it. When that Spirit speaks, when that Spirit speaks in 7 tongues under the voices, amen, all truth will be made plain to you. The mystery of God will be finished. Amen. To live in an hour, to know the mystery of God has been finished. God has kept his promise. Did God keep his promise? Yeah, our witnesses here, amen. Our witnesses of his majesty, they recognize him in their generation. Come in the last days. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Why is all these wars and rumors of wars? Why are all these earthquakes in diverse places? Why are all these happenings in the earth? Why are all this trouble in the Middle East? Amen. The whole world is restructuring. Since the whole communist world fell and begin to restructure, all the perestroika on the move. Amen. Then everything focuses now into the Middle East. And all them who come out and reshape and become part of the new world order have their first exercise together. Amen. See how they're going to work together as a global community. Amen. How they're going to deal with uprisings. How they're going to deal with protests. How are they going to deal with people who try to move contrary to their own plans? How are they going to deal with people who don't line up and fall into objection when they speak? When they say jump, people who don't say how high to jump? How are they going to deal with them? I want you to see that the spirit that is moving in the earth right now. It hasn't begun to exercise in a direct and personal form toward God's elected bride yet. But it's already displaying itself, its character, its nature in the hour among different peoples. In a different type of situation, the first thing they use, military power to stand off everything. Use the might of the sword, amen, to bring into submission. Then the next thing is what? Economic starvation. Amen. You can't sell nothing. You can't import nothing. Close it off. That's what they're doing to them right now in the Middle East. That's the tactics to break the whole power. It shows the spirit that's dominating. It shows the armament, the type of weapons that the spirit is using to bring situations of such proportions, amen, under control. And how quickly that spirit of unity moves. The cry to arms. And all around the world, people are selling planes and minesweepers and tankers and ground troops and everything else, assembling them to one place. Prime Minister of Britain says, I've never seen the whole world, capital and last year, the whole world united like that for one single situation. Because in that spiritual realm, they're all being united already. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Just situations coming to show the unity. And to show the measures that they are using. Do you understand? Okay, we're gonna just say enough of those things just to leave it right there so you, as the prophet with the spiritual mind, will have understanding. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, to him that has the spirit of wisdom, let him understand. Amen. So, brother, when you look in the hour and you see how all these mountain tensions, oh my, all in Israel. They have the people alarmed. They have them all under alert. Get ready. Everybody buying up gas masks, everything. But news coming across the media ever so often alerting them, instructing them what to do in the case of an emergency, what to do in the case of an attack of by chemical weapons and with poison gas, how to react, how to deal with the situation, what to do, what not to do. All might have been put under alert for attack. I tell you, you watch Natural Israel. You watch the regional tensions and all, you know, all what is happening there in the Middle East is very, very important at this time. The world of fears and prophecy to be fulfilled in the last days. It's a situation that clearly depicts and reveals and brings out exactly what is happening. And a lot of deceit. Oh, it's full of deceit. Full of deceit. The pretentiousness of men, amen, is a great display. The loyalty of the false loyalty of people, amen, and commitment and all these things is on great display. Amen. You look there in the eyes of the world, you see the nature of man. Amen. You see the kings of kingdoms. You see the nature. You see the condition. You see the hour that we are living in. Realize the Bible said the earth is filled with violence as it was in the days of Noah. Amen. You see how people, human beings, who live in the normal everyday lives, trying to raise the children, trying to send them to school, trying to do this and do that, could become statistics overnight. Whether a certain attack will be made in a certain part of the world, whether it will be an air raid, whether so much lives are going to be lost, whether we are willing to sacrifice those lives for a better cause, whatever. People become statistics overnight. Let me tell you, in this world society, there's nothing. Amen. There's nothing to hold on to. A shifting sands. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no foundation for the righteous. But get your roots planted in God's word. Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory.
Amen. Lift your eyes to another horizon in that land, in that city that is four square, where the river flows over the throne, where the saints are robed in white. Oh, I want to go there. That's the place I want to be. I don't see no greater to convince me. Nobody will convince me the world is evil more. I don't get no mind battle whether the world is easy. I don't get no mind battle whether there's another tribulation coming to destroy the world. I don't mind battle that. I'm already convinced it's doomed for destruction. I want to be so sealed with the seal of God, so sealed in the devil's seal out. Glory be to God, living in His presence, abiding in His word. Amen. Being kept by faith through the power of God from day to day. Hallelujah. Oh, I want Him so real in my soul. I want Him so real, so ever present. I want the type of contact like the disciples had in that boat when they thought they were all destroyed that dark stormy night. Amen. When they sail across the Sea of Tiberias. Oh man, the storm is blowing contrary and all human ability that they tried to save themselves with had come to naught. The boat was falling apart. They were seeing sure destruction. But it dawned upon them, go away, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want that kind of relationship. Like I said, Jesus, all of a sudden the word, the anointed word that was in the midst came to life. And it brought the condition, amen, under subjection. Peace be still. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't want some far distant God hollering, 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 Jesus. No, but the word is mighty. You don't have to go up in heaven to bring Him down. You don't have to go into heaven to bring Him up. Greater is He that is inside of you than He that is in the world. When the anointed word inside of you could be so anointed by the Holy Spirit and go to work under any kind of conditions, regardless what the circumstances are, that you could stand and say, I believe God, it shall be done. Even as He said, trust and obey, believe and say, amen. My God can do anything. We want to start with faith. Amen. Why I think God has sent His word to make church members out of us? To give us another form, another creed and dogma? To make us, you know, some bench warmers? Just to get fit into some man's religious program? God has sent forth the Holy Spirit to call you out to the world, separate you, make the world so dead to you. Amen. To fill every fiber of your being. Amen. He said, come out, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, I'll dwell in you, I'll walk in you, say the Almighty, I'll be your God, you shall be my people. Did God say it? That's His people in this hour, written epistles, read of all men. When you read some men, it says, poor, formal, backslidden, starchy Methodist. It says, dead, worldly, burnt out, Pentecostal. So, that's not the epistle of this hour. A real God called God filled man and woman in this hour. But let me tell you, every move, every move they make, like Moses, in the presence of the burning bush, every move represented God. God said, put your hand in your bosom, Moses, pull it out. It became a leprosy. He said, pull it back. Pull it out. It was healed. Take your rod, Moses, throw it on the ground. Turn that snake. Pick it back up by the tail. Came back to a rod. God was showing Moses He was God. He had Paul walking. And Moses there represented Christ. That right, the right hand of God. That was bringing the hidden secrets of redemption. That was locked up in the bosom of God. How you're smitten, become a leprosy, sin for all of us. Died on Calvary. And went to hell. Is that right? But rose the third day clean. That now you are justified. Amen. Freely forever. Hallelujah. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified. Freely forever. Someday He's coming. Oh, glorious day. when that trumpet sound, amen, and that morning breaks eternal bright and fair, like Rebecca's eyes saw Isaac, we'll see him and meet him, amen. Hallelujah. He'll take us to the Father's house. Glory be to God. I believe it because the Bible declares it to be so. I'm convinced of it because God's word has never failed. I know it's true because it points to this very hour. Amen. Yes, sir. No wonder the Christian of this hour is been walking with such expectations in their hearts. But when you see all these winds blowing, see back there, God said, hold them winds. Don't let that war go on no longer. Stop it! God stopped the war. Man said, who do that? Who make the man back down? Who make the man surrender? Who make the man go? God did. That angel. Political analysts, psychiatrists, psychologists, trying to analyze the behavioral pattern. Why? What? There's an angel in charge of everything. Hallelujah! Hold them winds, they will not blow anymore. Glory. More slaughtering weapons, slaughtering angels was piling in for a great slaughter. God said, not yet. Hallelujah! Glory! I still got one and two moving here, amen. I still got one and two sealed until that last one is sealed, marked in the forehead with the revelation of my name. Know that they belong to me. Know that I am theirs and they are mine. Amen. Glory be to God. God knows to diffuse a situation. God knows to stop it and bring it under control. God knows to bring a relaxing time. Hallelujah. God knows to bind up political powers and military powers. Because God cared for his sheep like a shepherd. He laid down his life for that sheep. He suffered and died and bled and was spit upon. Pierced in his side with a Roman spear, spit in his face by drunken Roman soldiers. Jumped his beard out for that little sheep. He ain't gonna let no man destroy them before he can get to them. Hallelujah! He lived in 99, already sealed up inside a deer, shut away. And he's looking for that last one. Such love that God can love a sinner such as this. How wonderful is love like this? Oh my. Sometimes we try to learn mysteries to get faith. Sometimes we try to go and cram and study day and night and make ourselves a bookworm and get all intellectual. Amen. But let me tell you, sometimes you just need to see the love of God. And let me tell you, faith works by love. The love of God being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen! Speaking His word! The love of the God of love revealing the mystery of the love of God into your heart. You who was unlovable. Amen! That He might bring you to Himself. Hallelujah! Glory! Amen. Last week we were taking that day to seal. The sealed book and the sealed bride. He sends forth His word. His message proclaimed. He catches them. Seals them away with the divine revelation of His word quickened to them by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But from that moment, that revelation struck the heart, turned them around. You begin to see them, somebody in the office maybe, see them walk out yesterday evening all vexed and blue and arrogant. Next morning they walk in and say, I'm sorry for the way I behaved yesterday. That a repentance of the person in the job can't figure out what happened. But beating and walking away and coming out of your eyesight and walking back through that same door that went through another door that brought them to the cross, that brought them to the Savior, that brought them to a fountain. Amen! Brought them to a spirit that could make them alive, put them in a new atmosphere. And when He sent them back to the job next morning, a quick short work. Hallelujah! You're trying to baffle with the same man because you're all come full of defense to deal with that arrogant spirit tomorrow. And you find the man sweet and full of love, repenting and everything else. Oh, you become a mystic. And some people can't see God. They can't see Him right there. They can't see Him being revealed through His works, coming close to them. They don't understand his ways. Amen. Glory. See, God always does it. He brings them to himself in such a way that sometimes they don't even understand what is happening. They don't even understand what he's doing in their own life. Some of you sometimes, you know, you love God, you mean well, you want to serve God, you want to really go to church, and you're really trying to live right, and you know, because in your mind, mentally, that is what you should do if you are a Christian, that's how you should serve God. But then God wants, God knows, you're just in the church realm of Christianity. You're just in the realm where you come under human government, human church government. But God wants to lift up and bring you to the realm of divine revelation, where his spirit reveals his word, quicken it to you, show you who you are, why it was God's choice to bring you in this age, why it was God's working to let you grow up and pass through all your past through and then deal with you in this manner at this time in your life. Amen. Things that seemed it had no bearing, it didn't mean nothing in your life. The Spirit of God began to go back to them things and say, remember that night, so and so. I was calling you then. Remember that time, so and so. Remember that situation where you humble yourself and you couldn't do it. That was your chance, right? You're going to get delivered. Oh, you just know how to deal with his people. And once he brings a man and a woman into that realm of the Spirit, they live God now. They live with God now in another sphere where they walk by faith and not by sight. Now they're coming under divine leadership. Now they can get supernatural instructions. Now when they see God's word flashing, amen, when they hear God speaking, when they see the hour being identified, they begin to line right up with the word. Amen. They hear the call for service. They call for duty. They come without reservation. Just as I am, Lord. What will thou have me to do? Like Paul said, what will thou have me to do? He thought he had so much to do. He had it all outlined. Which city he'll take first? Which city he'll take second? Amen. Who he's going to get? Which papers he need? Which authority he must go to consult? Amen. See, which informers, how much informers he need in every city to find where the churches are and everything else. He thought that what would it have been? But when he came to the presence of the pillar of fire, all that faded away. He said, what will thou have me to do? He found a new boss. He came into a new employment. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. He met one who come to hire workers early in the morning. Hallelujah. You will go in and work in my vineyard. Because the Lord of the vineyard was coming out early in the morning. Oh my. Sometimes we don't understand what's happening. You see, we're not called to understand everything. We're called to believe. Believe and you shall see the glory of God. See? Jesus asked the blind man, you believe I can open your eyes? He don't even know how it's going to be done. He don't know what method to use. He don't even know medically what was wrong with him and what the problem was and what it entailed to have that problem corrected so his optic nerve could begin to function. He don't even know. He don't even know his pit and clay is work. Is that bush medicine or what kind of medicine that is? But he said, believe you, I can do it. But in that voice, there was divine authority. In that man's soul, what was representation that could only be awakened by that divine authority. Say, I believe you are able to do this, Lord. Amen. Peter didn't know what was going to happen there, but he said, cast your net, go out and lay down your net again. He didn't know why. He said, I can tell him my experience. I feel sure I'll have nothing there. I'll be a real fool and I'm going to do it almost unbelieving. Because by experience, and we have nothing of water, I fish all night, and we ain't catching. We toil, as a matter of fact. We ain't just peruse and just throw the net out casually. We toil. Every trick we know in fishing, we use. Every art, every type of fishing instrument we have, we employ. He said, but nevertheless, I die because you say so. How do you do the works of God? Believe on him whom God has sent. And God has sent forth his deliverer. Behold, I send you. Amen. My angel in whom my name is. Amen. God sent a pillar of fire to lead them. It was God himself coming as that angel of that pillar of fire covenant to lead them. Amen. Even Moses, the prophet of the age, standing there, who was speaking as God to them, say, I will not go up except you don't go with me, Lord. Because he knew as a man, he was insufficient, he was unable to do anything. He knew where his success come from. Amen. Let me tell you, right now in these times that we are living in, things is happening rapid. It's happening quick. And the believer whose mind has been trained by the word, how to look. How to look. Because you can look out there and see anything. You can see all kinds of things. But the seven seals have been opened. Our eyes have been anointed with the eye salve of the revealed word. God take the mysteries and anoint our eyes with it. And when we look, we see modern events are being made clear by the vindicated prophecy. We don't see through a glass darkly, no, because that which is perfect has come. Amen. And all the darkness is being moved. All the superstition of religion is being moved. Is that right? We're not looking at a little flashlight no more. The sun itself has risen. We're not trying to make out what does spook look like? What does it look like? No. You look here, what it is? Politics? You just go back under the fourth seal. It's right there. See? Religion? We're right there moving out. Very innocent. In a White House. Go back there. It's all there. Yeah. In the last days that we will not be left without understanding. And when this thing begin to move, because you know this man up in the Middle East, his hero is Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe some of you all read that. The man hero is Nebuchadnezzar. Recently the man had his picture taken on in Nebuchadnezzar war chariot. And because he lived in the same land Nebuchadnezzar was in, he lived right in where Babylon was. Babylon and Akkad and Kala and all the places in the land of Shinar, all the places right there. Is exactly what is in the land called Iraq today. Mesopotamia, the child of Olive, is right here. You see, the spirits in that land is not easy spirits. And as Nebuchadnezzar conquered the whole region and built an empire, and he was the head of gold. And even capture Israel and took him into 70 years of captivity when he laid his siege around Israel in the Bible. So, that man is seeing himself that he's going to be that great. He had that ambition. Why? He's driven by the anointing of that spirit. Man born into an age, into a region. They find a socket. They plug into this. They can charge themselves up. With a certain anointing, they go forth and act out the influence of that spirit. Look at the Jews back there. It's like Jacob coming back home with the money. Didn't the prophet take out the sixth seal? He had the desire to go back to the land of his fathers. It's like the Jews have gone back. Is that right? But how he schemed to get the money. You know what? That's the spirit that's dominating in the world today. Money. Because everything is because of economic purposes. All these tensions are only because of economic. But thank God, God is bringing the bride through the door of faith into a realm. Brother, where the economy of God and the power of God is going to lift up into such a realm that she'll be so far above world economics. It may sound fanatical, it may sound adventurous for some people who don't know the Bible. But where do you think Jesus in the Bible turned water into wine for? Just to show you can do a miracle? Where do you multiply the burning fish for? Just to show you can multiply burning fish? Where you make Elijah outrun the chariot for and translate Philip without a motor car, without gas, or a horse and buggy? What do you do it for? What do you make Elisha way back in the Old Testament multiply bread for? When food was poisoned, contaminated, where do you heal the food for? For sure? Where the transport system, God have it. Whether it's food, whether God in the wilderness make food come for out of the sky. Whether God open up, make water come on the rock.
You can imagine how all them geology students baffle. All kind of thing Moses doing and preaching the word, and their minds are trying to figure out how water come on the rock. They get hooked up on a science tangent and could come back off. This is where the prophet is really going. It was a paradox, it was incredible and yet true. It's unexplained. Nobody can explain it. It's a realm of science that God locked up, that when they broke into the laboratory, they couldn't break in that room. Sure. They're trying to create. They're trying to find life, the secret of life. They can't find it. They're splicing genes, everything else. Sure. But they can't get a hold of it. You know why? It comes to the simplicity and the fullness of preaching. They will never look there for it. Your God has given a man the new birth. Change him, transform him. Anoint him and tell him in his word. It baffles the human mind. But yet how could this chaplain of Galilee yet have not learned or went to school one day? Could be so rich, didn't get it taught to go into business and have the biggest wine industry. You think he lacked imagination? It was a time of inflation, recession, go back in the Bible and see. It was a time of economic crisis, when all his very own disciples, but I was studying what they're going to wear and what they're going to eat and different things. You think he could say, okay, let's find all the fishes that have money in the mouth and pull them up, and we're going to be rich, and we're going to launch a good campaign. Yet he went about, but without a roof over his head. You mean you couldn't be influenced by all the economic crisis to use his gift for commercial? You mean a man can be so obsessed with doing the father's business? Yet the man can pay his own taxes? How they going to seek out the money? Yet he can multiply bread and fish and feed 5,000 and become per basket afterwards? You mean we read the Bible so shallow and just say a story and something happened yesterday can happen? Did God lose that secret? If he's still God, he must still know it. If he can't do it today, then he lost something he had. Amen. But God didn't lose nothing he had. But as long as we live trapped here and locked away and be pressured by every little situation that backslide from the world, compromise from the world, you know, go back on the word, because if somebody can make you, how could you ever get into that? God show you, yeah, you have it, you can take care of it. There's no problem. Sure. But many times he tests us to a point, that's what we're going to do. He tests Abraham to a point. Where it means the death of his own boy. But faith in God's word, he is still Jehovah Jireh. Yet God can create the ram, Madame Abraham woke up and did that. Is that right? But he didn't want to bring the ram there. Then God's timing was perfect. He had to first reveal plainly what was in Abraham's heart before he bring that ram. Is that right? And all that time, Abraham was being tested to see if he obeyed God's word and if he had faith in the way God dealt with him. Why do we get trouble thinking that, you know, God has dealt with us and yet we can't faith that God has dealt with us in the way God has dealt with us? We shouldn't get no trouble for that. If you know God has dealt with you a certain way and brought you a certain way and by his word let you see why he was dealing with you that way, what is he preparing you for, where are you going from here, how we expect you to live in this hour, it shouldn't give you no problems. Why would God, who can do all that, have to make Paul rob a next church? He didn't go and pull up a robbery. He just took up an offering from one church to help another church. When God knew to find money and gold coins and fish money. When that was used to buy food for them, when God can multiply food. You know what? You know what a lot of us? A lot of us, you know, for the smallest crisis that comes with spoken words.
But why did God make them do that? Why they have to run on the ground under persecution? Starved and humiliated. Because the Jerusalem church had a little proud thing about it. The gospel starts in Jerusalem. They were the ones who walked with Jesus. All these things. I humble them when they take Gentiles who didn't even want to come in the economy of God. Bring Gentile money in to help them. It was a humiliating thing. How come in their Pentecost is power and sin can stand the church there and God in the same church go through that same thing in another situation? God will do things that because God can do things. Because God already knows who he is and what he can do. It's we who need to come in a certain shape, and God knows what needs to come out of us, what needs to be developed within us, where we doubt in him, where you need to correct some of them ideas and change some of them attitudes. Sure, and you know the conditions are going to bring us in that shape. And though we have a knowledge of what God can do, and try to invoke that, and see that operate, it don't mean we don't have faith for it. But sometimes God wants to work on other things, rather than show us that you know we have faith. Or let people see we have faith to bring things. You know you have faith? You don't need God to confirm that to you then. Eh? You want the world to see your faith? You think they're going to believe her when they see your faith? It just makes them more proud. God only just wants to see you operate faith to move mountains. You can have faith to move mountains. Everybody see your faith to move mountains. Look at Paul. When he says, I perceive you have faith to be healed. Rise up! And the layman jumped up and was made well. What did that miracle do? It make them believers? The people who have amongst? They run with garlands. They say, one is Mercury and one is Jupiter. The gods have come down among us. It bring them into man worship. Is that right? It lead them into idolatry. They fall in the face of repentance. They praise God from now on. We know anytime one is sick among us, we'll be all one in health, a skeleton, confused, and going to panic. We see what God can do. Now we know how to live and what to expect, how to deal with these things. They didn't go so they became men worshippers. Until Paul said, no, we are men just like you, all sinful men. Even the disciples, when they saw Jesus, they said, what manner of man is this? And he turned around and rebuked them. He said, oh, you are full of faith. He threw it back in their court. He said, yes, I'm the only man like this. No. He said, oh, you are full of faith. If you sit in the mountain, you should move too. He put right back inside him and said, you want to adore me and admire me and amaze what I can do. Why don't look at your own self? You should be doing the same thing. Amen. God knows how you do with people, you see. Because sometimes we get into little things, we don't even realize how all bent out of shape we get. But if we come to the place where we can know what God is doing in the midst of all these things, and we can see exactly how he's bringing his people out and get them ready, then that is where all we need to just line up and watch him take care of the rest. Because he is the one who's the author and he's the finisher. And he will take care of all the rest. Because nothing is beyond him. He can do all things. You believe that? Amen. With all this tension that's happening, all this thing that's moving in the earth, I think it's very timely that this very subject that we're into right now, because it's all heading up. And it says, you watch and see what has been exercised under these conditions. Military power and economic power. Because the industrialized nations of the world hold that economic power in their hands. And they could break and put a nation under pressure. Today, tomorrow, you think you're all secure and life is easy and everything. You have it nice and check your money in the bank ever so often and see how much interest you're earning and you know, kind of upgrade your clothes ever so often and feel like you're going up a little high and everything else. And then, sometimes, you can wake up and just pick up the daily newspapers and realize you're going down are slide so fast that the years you try to claw and come put a nail to reach where you are, you can slide in a couple of days. One devaluation turned to bankruptcy, and then economic warfare upon your community throw you into poverty. And then your life begins to hang on a thread. And then you realize, covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Look at all what is happening, all the tensions. That the political analysts know the type of condition that this world could slide into, the kind of recession could hit if that thing stand off there for, let's say, a couple of months. If that stand off there for a couple of months, you will surprise to see what this world will slide into. And they know it. And that's why the type of force and opposition and gather up all the powers to deal with this thing, brother, in such a way that they're going to drive fear into the heart of any little dictator that wants to rise up and do anything. It's on all levels. On your level, you in fifth standard, you want to deal with the person in first standard in a rough way. Sure, this is in the world. The superpowers can go in, but then they destroy a small country. Oh, a small country doesn't want a pawn in the big game for bigger stakes. Exactly. And the Bible shot them wins. Them winds will destroy everything. Even the people of God will get caught up inside them and be destroyed. And God said, no, I might be just 144,000 years there. That ain't much preventing about 5, 6 billion, you know. Because at the time of that sitting of them Jews, is the only 144,000 after the bride goes in the rapture. God is, with about 6 billion people on the planet, God is only thinking about 144,000, that ain't much. About sealing them, think of it. And God said, hold up all these things. Bind it up. But they can't move until I get them little ones. And you can imagine, he already said 12,000 each tribe. But when it come right down to them little ones, it may say, but Lord, how much does it count? He said, 50 more to go. He said, a couple of families, and they live in this community over here. He said, okay, dispatch. They see the angel there quickly. Seal them up. How many does it count? He said, just one last family to come in. He said, I remember when I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the household shall be saved. They stand for my word. Get them. He said, what's in the Bible? In the book of Joshua. God's going to destroy the whole of Jericho. He said, go and make sure they touch the house of Rahab and that scarlet thread. They receive my message. His eyes on the sparrow and he watches over you. What an assurance that a Christian has when you see the provision in God's word and how God will hold back nations and powers and kings for your sake. Don't you realize it's an embarrassment when you come and you can't trust God for a little cup of tea and some bread or a little shelter over your head? And you see what God will do with the world and the world system and the world powers for your sake? You see, it's because we're not walking close enough. It's because we're not praying for it to become real enough. Because we're not living in that atmosphere where these things are realities. It's little things we try to remember in our mind, like geography and history and, you know, little things we learn in school. But when it comes to a place that it governs your life and controls you and influences you, then you realize, when you look at and see how you care for your chickens in the yard, when you go out, you'll make sure somebody come and feed your dog. You know what I'm saying? But a corn can be hard and you have a few falling about there. Every time rice, you boil it and turn for them to do it itself. I see some people, you know, they come nice, fellowship, things happening good. Food, passion, eating, enjoyment, talking about the word and things of God. When they're going to say, by the way, take all the chicken bone and put it in a bag for me, carry it for me, dog. Because in their world, they're responsible for the dog. In their world, the dog have a job. The dog ain't clocking a yard.
You know what I mean? But because the faithful dog is back in the night, because the dog around the yard is a friend to them and they have a relationship with the dog. Even with all this big spiritual talk, the eye on them bone, they're watching to make sure they're scooping that dustbin. Put that, leave it for me, I can't be a dog. Then if you could think that way for your dog, how much more God for you? And your head full with rent to pay, with this here and the children's school, books and school, often and this and that and the other, and your own life with the Lord and everything else. And yet there's a lot of room to make reservation for your dog and make sure your dog gets his food too. It's all the problem you have. Amen! So then you realize, is it an act for the... Well, Jesus said, if you evil know to give it to you and good things, how much more the Heavenly Father? God know what you have need of. You think God has seen us citizens struggling there, struggling like the one with the infirmity for 18 years? You watch her, the hand with her, until they bring him one in his presence, and he's among all them Pharisees and the John and Chapman. One big religious battle, whether he's a Messiah, he's a prophet, he's a false prophet here in the school, here no Sadducee, no Pharisee, he's born in fornication. He's Beelzebub. His mother is a village prostitute. His father's a carpenter. They're trying to make something out of it because he follows a few drunk fishermen. And while all of us going on, he said, bring you over here. Just stretch out your hand, daughter. Bible said for 18 years. You think he didn't see that? You think he needed a man to tell him he tried to go in that water for 38 years? He had to pass that way. Because he didn't heal nobody else, he touched that man alone. He went there for him by that pole. He put him there for a testimony. You think you don't see us in our condition? Struggling, going through? And yet he know you have a point in time? Yet he know he's going to come to our deliverance? Yet he want to watch and see how we're going to stand in that condition? Whether we're still willing to serve him and stand true to his word? When Jesus told his parable here of the kingdom of heaven, Bible says, and he told a parable of the kingdom of heaven. What was in his mind? He was there that day coming to the end of his ministry. You read it, he was going towards Jerusalem to be crucified. And as he was coming down to the end of his ministry, he was opening up all the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who's a householder. You watch that life normally. You watch them big landowners. Not a big ranch, the big agricultural base, plant as much different crops, hire so much of workers every year. When the time comes to go and work in the field, when they're plowing and when they're reaping and these things. And Jesus looked at it and you could see that is exactly a representation of the economy of God. An inspiration struck him, no doubt maybe passing right there by a big farm or something. And as you look at it, he said, inspiration from a message. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who is a landowner, a householder. He goes out early in the morning because it's a lot of work to be done. And early in the morning, the brothers know that they get on by Trintuck Gate early in the morning. And they stand outside behind the gate. And then somebody come out the admin building. They look outside. The labor office. Look outside, they watch them. Why? They want some men to hire. Yeah, everybody know that. Normal everyday life. But Jesus says, likened unto the kingdom of heaven. Oh, may God put that spirit upon us. Where when we walk through this world, whatever our activities are, whatever we're confronted with, it becomes alive. It becomes something that reveals God's word. It becomes something that makes God visible to us. Like he could see whether it's fishing, whether it's carpentry, whatever it was. He looked there, he says, and the man goes out and he hires some men early in the morning. And they're going to my field and labor. Come back out, third hour of the day. He says, meet some more. And he make a bargain with them. Go out and work too. Come in the sixth and the ninth hour. He still wasn't satisfied. He was coming out the 11th hour, the last hour of the day. That he had people there. He was going to bring in also. To come in. And what's something? And when he told that parable, he was opening up a mystery of the elected
who was going to be called in the last days. Because the whole parable was centered around those who was last was going to be first. And not many is called, but few are chosen. But those who are chosen is also called. Because it was called first. And how he was going to give them the same pay. It was all in his mind. And he was teaching this. He wasn't looking something for a filler. But he was bringing to them, he said, the kingdom of heaven. In other words, this holds a mystery of something in God's economy. And I'm going to tell you about it. What's going to happen in the last days? What's going to happen in the last hour? What's going to happen in the evening time? Because when it become evening? That was the last hour of the day. He went out early in the morning when the sun was in the east. When the sun was now rising. And it being the call of the first of the workers. But now, the sun was in the west. It was evening time. And this whole Bible, from Genesis, it speaks of the evening time. Because God came down at evening time. The fellowship with Adam and Eve. God sent Eliezer to look for a bride in the evening time for Isaac. God tell Moses, tell the people at evening time, put the blood on the door because judgment will start through the land. Is that right? All to the Bible about evening time. Because we are living in the evening time. We are at the end of the age. The gospel had started in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room when the church had its inauguration. Here we are at the end. Everything is going back east now. It can't go no more west. So as we settle in for the next few minutes just to drive this down. I'm taking other title, the calling and sealing of the 11th hour Gentile workers. And of our subject, call the laborers and give them their wages. The Lord of the vineyard, they call the laborers and give them the wages. How many want the wages? Amen. He told his steward, singular, Revelation 10:1. Telling Revelation 10:7 at evening time, on Sunset Peak, in the Sunset Message, when a blast from heaven shook the earth, and seven angels came, and the Lord of the vineyard appeared. He just called the laborers, called Revelation 11. It's time for them to receive the same penny that the first hour workers get. Amen. It's time for them to get theirs. Jesus spoke of it. The master himself, the Lord of the vineyard, was walking there, showing what he's going to do at evening time in the last days. The gospel is now in the east. The Son of Man is going to be, it hadn't come to Luther and them yet, in Europe, hadn't come to Wesley and them yet, hadn't come to the Pentecostals in America. The gospel is way back in the east. It hadn't started to move across the earth yet. It was still in an eastern setting, in the east, early in the morning, when the Son of Man was being revealed to the eastern people. Is that right? And he's given this parable. How he in the last hour of the day, because St. John 11, he said, are there not 12 hours in the day when the Son of Man should work? Because in night time come and no man can work. Because that's when the sun rises at 6 and when the sun sets at 6 in the evening. From 6 to 12, it's from 12 to 6 the next 6. And that's the 12 hours of the day. Sure. Then you go to rest afterwards. Nighttime is for rest. When the evening shadows fall, you lay up your tools. And Papa come home to have supper. Is that right? Coming home to his family. And the wife have the children all clean and ready and the supper table spread to minister unto him. She's expecting him home. No wonder he says, At evening time, he'll come on the scene. He'll be revealed again. It'll be supper time. He's going to come among his people. Watch. And as he told this parable, he began to unfold something about the kingdom of heaven. And you know, you should understand by now that when we took that series on the light and the darkness, we realized that Jesus, in talking simple things, brought such great truth that held such great mysteries of redemption in such simple things he spoke. That if we just take it as little superficial parables, we'll fail to realize that was the fountain of all wisdom speaking. There is not a greater intelligence than God. And when Jesus spoke, that was the greatest intelligence ever spoke. That was the greatest truth that was ever spoken. May God help us with our puny minds to understand what he said. Because we can just look and say, oh, no, he's talking about. But I pray, help us. Because we need to know, and he promised to. And he began to say, the ones who are called first and called early in the morning, that's when the sun is in the east. And the ones who were called last were called in the evening, that's when the sun that rose in the east was now in the west. And he opened up this parable, which is a mystery of prophecy. He was bringing something prophetic. God was speaking of the last hour of the day. At that hour, there'll be no more work. Is that right? This is the last hour of the day, friend. This is the last message going forth. After that, there's no more work. This is the message that takes us home. We're in the coming of the Lord. And he said, at evening time, the same man who was calling and sending people into his vineyard to work had a steward here that he could have come to. He didn't go out among the laborers. He came to his steward. His steward was going to call the laborers. Is that right? And it was going to be the last hour of the day. It was going to be at evening time. And there who the steward was going to call, he was going to call the ones who had come in that last hour. And he was going to let them know that they were to receive the same payment, the same wage as they who come in first. How it must have thrilled them! How it must have made them realize we hardly do anything! We wasn't fed to the lions. We wasn't burned on a stake. We wasn't thrown in dungeon and prison. Had to wander in sheepskin and goatskins. We didn't have to do all them things. We had to cross the hot burning desert and barefoot. Amen. But yet, we want to receive the same penny. What a message that steward came with. I can imagine that steward knew how them 11-hour workers was going to react when he began to announce to them what was in the mind of the Lord of the vineyard concerning them. Hallelujah! Friends, can't you realize you are the ones who come in the last hour? Now is evening time. There is to be a steward in this hour. In the evening time, sunset time, we'll bring a sunset message. And that sunset message is to tell you, you're going to get the same pay, the same Holy Ghost, the same baptism, the same blessing that they will come in the morning when the sun rose in the east. You will receive the same blessing. Have you heard such a message? Did you see such a steward? Was it on Sunset Peak? Was it on Sunset Mountain? The Lord of the Vineyard himself descended. He gave his steward a vision to go to Arizona and wait. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And the Lord of the Vineyard and the steward met 40 miles east Flagstaff.
on Sunset Peak. Hallelujah! He said, go now and call them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! At evening time, the pot of glory you surely will find in the light today, buried in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Young and old, repent of all your sin, and the Holy Ghost will surely enter in. Glory!
That steward was happy to pack such a message, because he saw the grace of God being revealed in the message to them who was called in the last hour. He didn't just give them a little sanctification. He didn't give them some little give or something. No. The promise was the giver himself to come inside of them. In that day you will know I in you and you in me. He himself was going to come and live inside of them. Amen. Then over in Revelation 7, which you read, here is the same Jesus. Don't mix it up now. Same Jesus came and began to show John on the Isles of Patmos his future works in the seven church ages. Is that right? And when it comes to Revelation 7, he begins to unfold further to John in symbol form when the time is going to arrive when those 11th hour workers was going to get the same penny that the first hour workers get. What are we going to bring that out and show you? Because Revelation 7 was a mystery. John said, I saw them four angels holding the four winds of the earth. Now that, the book of Revelation, how many know the book of prophecy? How many know the prophecy is in symbol form? It's a book of symbols. It is the prophetic word. Then that symbol there, it speaks of something. It speaks of an event. It speaks of a particular time. And because right after he saw them angels holding the winds, he saw one coming with the seal of God. Is that right? We took it last week. What is the seal of God? God, we show that God had a seal. Amen? We show what it was. We went back in the Old Testament and we show how the seal and the name always went together. Is that right? Then we took the act of sealing. When the sealer, who the seal belongs to, puts the seal upon those who he intends to seal. Is that right? And we find out that when a seal is attached to a document, it guarantees its authenticity. Is that right? It makes it valid, it certifies it, it establishes it. Amen? It distinguishes it from something else. He confirms it or approves it as being valid. It's endorsed. Because the seal was as a signature in the old days. And we took that and showed what God uses the seal for and what is indicated by his use of a seal upon the thing that he seals. And we find out that a seal also denotes ownership. And we took out, like even clothing or any product in the grocery, it carries a label. It carries a certain mark of the producer, of the one who has that, the brand name. The mark, the tag, the seal upon it. See? And there are franchises over there. They can't even copy it. They can't even try to produce it. They can't even like it. It's authentic. It's genuine. And we find that it was a capital crime to try to forge somebody's seal. Same way today as we try to forge somebody's signature on a check. And we showed them that God, how he always used that seal, because the seal in the Old Testament, and we took the king's seal and the king's name, which is a type, which couldn't be reversed under no circumstances, was a type of the king's seal in the New Testament. And we went back to the New Testament and we took Revelation 7 and showed what the seal of God was,
how just put in their forehead. And then we took Revelation 14:1 and showed it was the name written in the forehead. Is that right? Then we also went and we took Ephesians 4, Ephesians 1, 2 Corinthians 1, different places, and showed that the seal in the New Testament is God's Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, ask the Father anything in my name. And we find denominational people, we talk about Revelation, they go and say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And you really cannot have his name, or use his name, or authorize to use his name, except you are sealed with that name. And we took the little illustration about cattle, how when the owner paid the price for the cattle is the purchased possession, then the owner who borrowed the price, puts a seal on it. Is that right? He brands his name into it. And then the cattle know who it belongs to and others know who it belongs to because the name of the owner is branded into it. Amen. And we took out Peter and them. He told them, repentance must be preached in my name. Remission of sins must be preached in my name. Go into all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. But Peter, with a revelation of the name, not only baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he made the important man whole, and he said, by what power, by what authority do this? He said, by faith in that name. Because Jesus, when he came, he said, I am come in my Father's name. And then in St. John 17, he prayed, Father, I have declared thy name unto them. He brought the revelation of God in the world for that age. And that word was being interpreted in his life, showing he did come in the Father's name and he preached that revelation, showing that he declared that name. Because if that name is not sealed in you, you can't preach that word. You preach a false dogma, you preach a creed, you preach a past word, and saying you seal with the name? Impossible. Because the word interpreted for the age of the manifestation of the name. The very fact that you have the word, the name, is that you're walking in the word for your hour. Amen. He said, Father, I have manifested thy name unto them, and they believe in me. They who have received my word, and they believe I came from thee. Is that right? And he told them, they asked him one day, Lord, show us the Father. You always talk about his Father. And he said, the Father is greater than you. You know, and you're coming to the Father's name, show us his Father. He said, Philip, so long I've been with you and you don't know me. In other words, you mean you had to preach the word and make terminology? And this is this confuses so much. You think it's a Trinity you're talking about? You think it's another person? Is it not that terminology confuse you? When you see me, you see the Father. The Father dwelleth in me. I am the Father, one, not two. Amen. So here, when he was bringing forth that revelation, they was under that word. And they knew that he came in the Father's name, and those works was the manifestation of the name he came with. And the Father, I know you hear me always. And they knew that that works was connected to that name. Because he told them, when I go, you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll give it to you. In my name, you'll cast out the devils. Don't try to holler, holler, holler. Use my name. But you can't do it until the Holy Spirit, the seal, come. Because that seal that's coming to seal you will write that name in your forehead. When the Holy Spirit came, they knew what the name was. Because it was not another God, it was the same God. Came back in spirit form. In them. Was God above us? Was God with us? No, it was God in us. God had come in them. So they understood the name. That is why when they went for the preach the word. Get it clear, because they was authorized to use that name. The Son just comes in the name of Jesus who Paul preached, and demons come in them. Because there was nothing in their forehead. They hear somebody using the name.
But no man can call Jesus the Christ but by the Holy Ghost. When you seal, when that name is revealed to you, when you see you are part of the word, part of that name is given to you, then you can use it. So what? So they went forth with that revelation. Then Jesus here in the last days says the same way, same penny that puts our workers get. In the last days, they're going to have the same thing. In other words, when that seal come upon them and they understood that name, and by faith in that name, they did those things. When that same penny come back to those in the last days, and they will see that same seal, it's going to be done also. And it's impossible for that seal to be here, and that name is not here. Because we found out the seal and the name is always connected together. It's one and the same thing. And here in the last days, before the destruction comes, he will say, hold heavens! Until we seal up these elect in their foreheads. And you read Revelation 14:1, I don't have time to read it. But it says, and we saw 144,000 with the Lamb on Mount Zion, and his Father's name was written in their foreheads. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, so it shows what is written in their foreheads. Not that they think I mark and put it there. It represents your revelation. It was revealed to them. Yea, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. That was God inside them. No wonder those apostles, they so understood that as Paul said, the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. John said, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He that though heareth us yet is not of God, and he that heareth us is of God. Is that right? You know, we have seen the word just from the beginning. We have handled it. We have looked upon it. And that eternal life declare we unto you. So now they were declaring the same thing. Paul says, well, it please God who separated me from my mother to reveal his son in me. They knew that that word, that name was in them. Because Jesus told Paul, he says, he is a chosen vessel to bear my name. What is declaring the name? Behind the name, manifesting the name, coming in the name being glorified in you. What is it?
Saying Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name? No.
What is the life behind that name? That name identifies something. Amen? All right, now watch. Now God always seals by his word. How many know that? He said, I told God by his spirit. Well, you see, the word and the spirit is the same. You see, I want scripture for that. In the beginning was the word, and the word is with God, and the word was God. And John 4 says, God is a spirit. So the word is God, and God is a spirit. And holy is just the adjective that describes what kind of spirit. Holy Spirit. So, God is the Word, and the Word is the Spirit. And His name is called the Word of God. Is that right? The name is the Word is the Spirit. And the Spirit is the seal. And the seal is the name. So the Word, the Spirit, the seal, and the name is all the same thing. Amen. That's why that name, of bearing that name, is when that name, that word has been interpreted in you. If that word for the ages has been interpreted in you, you can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but you ain't bearing the name yet. But it takes life to bring forth, to bear. Because the name, repent and be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ for the mission of sin, and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Then when that spirit comes in you, then that name is really attached to you. Otherwise, you're only believing unto receiving. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? After having believed, were you sealed? Amen!
You start to believe first. What makes you repent? You begin to believe. There's something you to believe with. There's something in you that draws closer and says, I never heard it so in the word and truth. My children come here different, but you know, it comes correct me. I always get trouble with that. But over here, I know that's how it is. Because this could become plain. It becomes alive. And I see it. That crazy thing that never used to go down good. And I don't understand. Because he says his name shall be called Wonderful Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. You mean he's the Everlasting Father? Sure. And the Son too. And the Shepherd and the Lamb and the Light also. And he's also the door. And the, Amen. Glory. Amen. Is he always? Always him. So here, in Revelation 7, Jesus was given to John a further revelation of the time and the events of the time, get this, when that same penny was going to come back and be given to the believers. Let me prove that from the word for you. That's exactly what he was given to John. He was given to John a further revelation that it was time now for the sealing, the Holy Spirit, the same penny, to be given in the last days. You say, how you arrive at that? Because Revelation 7 verse 1 is when World War 1 stopped. And World War 1 stopped mysteriously. It's written in history. It's a known fact. In the volume of the decline of the war, where they didn't know how the war stopped. Mysteriously, suddenly the war stopped. Because the winds was blowing the earth, the sea, the land, everywhere. Destroying the whole earth. And something stopped it because there was no place. Since the Jews were scattered by Titus in AD 70, when they rejected Jesus and he said, you'll be scattered to all the earth. Had the world ever went to war until 1914. And 1914, when the world went to war, World War I, and the earth was almost destroyed with all this poison gas and mustard gas, all this chemical warfare that they had. And in 1918, the 11th hour of the 11th day, the 11th month, the war stopped. Now, God could have stopped the war anytime God wanted. But the one who stopped the war at a significant time. In other words, he purposely stopped the war on the 11th hour, on the 11th day, on the 11th month, for a purpose. And from the time the war was stopped, it was the 11th hour, the 11th, the 11th day, it was time for the Holy Ghost, the angel of the seal, to come on the scene. In other words, the Holy Ghost was fixing to be given just when the war stopped, the 11th hour, the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th month. Why? Because Jesus had told a parable about the Holy Ghost was going to be given to the 11th hour workers. Here he's speaking it in a word form to the disciples. Over here, the same Jesus is giving the revelation in symbol form of the Holy Spirit coming back. Now, to back up that with a little history for you, because the Holy Ghost was not taught in the church and the name was lost during the Reformer ages. Because when Luther came out, he said, you have a name that lives and was dead. Let's take a little bit. We try to close with that. Very difficult. Really stay for long periods in this building in this kind of heat. Sometimes I don't mind me, but I think of you and I know it's very difficult for you. Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to that. let's take on chapter 2 first. In the Ephesian age. We're going to take verse 3. In verse 1, he addresses the angel to the age. And then when it was being given to John back in AD 95. And he's telling back here, he says, write these things. He walked in the midst of seven golden lampstands and so on. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and all these things. And verse 3 says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. That early church was laboring not because of the name of a church. It wasn't laboring for the Sadducees. It wasn't laboring for the Pharisees. It wasn't laboring for a man. It wasn't laboring for a pastor. It was laboring for the Lord Jesus. Everywhere they went, they preached that name. They did the signs and wonders in that name. God manifested, they declared that name. They manifested that name. They bore that name. Because they had named that name and departed from iniquity. Is that right? Now what? Then, verse 13. Let's read verse 12. This is the third age here. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things here to you are the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. So even here in that third age, which was from 312 to 606, they were still holding fast that name. They were still baptizing in that name. They were still preaching in that name. And when he spoke to them, he said, thou holdest fast my name. Because in verse 14, they talk about the doctrine of Balaam, and them who are these are the Nicolaitans and so on. Why? Because men was coming in with that denominational thing already, but there were some who were still holding fast that name because they knew that there was power in that name. Then that name is not mentioned no more until, let's read Revelation 3 verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Here there was already bringing in them denominational names. Lutherans, blasphemous names. They had no longer been baptized in his name because after the Dark Ages and that apostolic doctrine died out, now the reformers was coming up and they had lost much truth under Roman persecution and so on. And now they had a name. He said that you live, but you're dead. Why are you dead? Where's the power? Where's the signs? Where's all these things that was connected to the name when it started in the beginning? It's not there. It's absent from the church. It's all political now. It's all formal now. See? And he told them, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain and are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. In other words, fulfilled. Much truth was being lost. The little that they had, he said, be watchful and strengthen what you have. How many times he speak to us like that personally? Many virtues we have, prayer, reading the word, contributing our lives, is all being lost. All you have about now is just come to church attendance. Maybe giving an offering or something. You should be watchful and strengthen that remain, because that's ready to die too. When those things die out, then you'll be just the world with the name of God attached to it. How many times that happens to our family? How many times that happens to our church? The things that you have, the things that you're noted for, the things that give you an effective testimony, the things that make people thirsty for what you have, begin to die. Remember how I took 16, 17 messages on 4 days of restoration right on because of that and brought it to this local church. The things that you had and remain are ready to die because you have not found your works fulfilled. The works was unfulfilled. They started, but they never completed. They lose the vision of the objective or what they was called out for. And they got tied up and they were slipping right back. They had a name that the living but was dead. But first, look at the angel in the church of Philadelphia. Verse 8, let's take from verse 8. Several times. I know thy works. He's talking to the church here. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. From the last time the name was mentioned in the Pergamos age, 606, here it is just at the turn of the 20th century. The name is being made mention again. In other words, revelation, truth as regarding the name begin to be revealed again amongst the people. And that was not, mind you now, to show you that was not in the Philadelphia age. He said, I have said before thee, speaking to the Philadelphians. He said, I have said before you. It is before you an open door, and no man can shut it. But thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Already had all these denominationals among them. Get it? It's two groups he's talking to right there. He's talking about right there. He said, before you, I have set before an open door. And I will make them of this synagogue come and bow before you, who has not denied, kept my faith and has not denied my name. Before you, I have set an open door. Is that right? All right. So it was before them. He was giving them something. We want to really use the next few minutes and get down on that here, because I want to prove to you what I'm trying to bring to you is God purposely stopped the war the 11th hour, the 11th month, the 11th day, 1918, because, and the reason he stopped it was because it was to seal his elect. You say, but it says 144,000 Jews, and you don't know Gentile workers. Sure. Because those Jews has not been seen yet. They haven't been called out yet. Out of Romanism. Because God don't deal with the two at the same time. Israel is blinded until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Is that right? But after the church is taken out, then he goes back to them. And then Moses and Elijah is going to call out the 144,000. I'll send my two angels with a trumpet. St. Matthew 24. And they will gather mine elect from the four ends of the earth. Amen. But what is happening in this hour? He is getting his church out of the way. He is bringing his church back to its original condition. He is giving those elect in this last age the same baptism he gave the first church, so to bring it back to one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You mean to say in this age of all this denomination? In this age when this great big ecumenical movement, everybody saying that the Spirit? And there's much of manifestations of gifts and all these things? How will we know? Watch. They are going to come back with the same blessing, with the same doctrine, with the same life, with the same power, with everything that church, that he'll bring his original church back to its original condition. Not another church, the same church. And if we can see how he's doing this, through the channel he's doing this, if we can recognize how this is being done, if we can see the Holy Spirit over these last few years working, bringing these things right to the spot, if we can see how he's held them winds. But in these last few times here, we have seen this world change. We have seen all kind of political tension. We have seen invasions. We have seen all the military forces of the earth gathering together under a new type of system now. Long ago, the two superpowers have a big standoff over that. It will be a war between the two superpowers. Is that right? Now the global community at work. My thoughts in these things don't amount to much. I'm not a political analyst. But to me, everybody looking at a great big invasion of trying to, what the man is doing there to invade Kuwait. But never before America was able to have ground troops in the Middle East. And when Saudi Arabia, the richest of all the Arab Gulf states, saw the aggression of the neighbor, they invite America to bring the troops in on their soil. And something that they never did before, because America ally is the greatest enemy of the Arabs, that we chose Israel. So America never had to invade Saudi Arabia to get into Saudi Arabia. Never had to use no political thing to get in this time. Fear for their own brother. Invite in all the troops as a shield to protect them from the aggression that's being faced there. Who would like to get in there and control that whole region? Because the reason they're supporting Israel, live or die, sink or swim, and going through all these things is because, for security reasons, because strategically, they located in the right place for America. They're supporting. Even though they're trying their best to get them to give up the West Bank and do this and kind of tone down the speech against the Palestinians and accept them as friendly and all these things, and they won't do it. Yet they still support them because they want an ally in that region. Someone who will even withstand you with religious zeal because the land of the fathers. But when you have somebody who can give you the same strategy, and you can control the oil and even have a greater offensive to bring a greater weapon. The thing with all these magazines, and they don't tell you America belongs to Rome. I know they're like Ahab. I know they're like Jezebel just working through Ahab to control everything, because Nimrod is getting ready to take over the whole world. They don't tell you that. But the part that is unwritten and unspoken and unknown has been made known to the bride through the opening of the seven seals. Because out of all the troops that gone in there, 99% is only American troops. All the rest talk about the naval blockade, but nobody's sending troops. You see? It's convenient. Very convenient. Those thoughts don't amount to much. But when you understand the world is changing, and all these things, I say between now and 1992, you will see a lot of these things. Because of that, Europe becoming an economic superpower, becoming like one state, one currency, one market. And recently they've been selling all them gold. The Russians put all the gold reserves in the foreign banks. Because the economy, they've been selling over $1 billion in the gold. The Saudi Arabians recently sold all the gold, very secretive, and didn't say a word to who was the buyer. We only know the ones who are interested in gold, the ones who want to change the money system. You know what I'm saying? But fear not, little flock. When is it going to happen? It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is kingdom? The Holy Spirit, His Word, be made spirit and life in you. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying He was sealing because destruction was coming. That's the reason he was moving the seal. The sealing angel had to come because the slaughtered angels come. Who's the slaughtered angels? Who slaughtered the Jews after the Holy Spirit sealed them? Titus? You mean the slaughtered angel was coming to the realm of politics? Military power? It starved them out? Bring economic depression upon them? Am I making sense? What's happening right there, out there? That's the move right now. Go back in the Bible when they lay in a siege and see what it does. See what? Bring the one in Trinidad to North too. They were out of food. They were even going to give away hostages for food. And military power is all around. The strong arm of the state with all the Caribbean forces ready to give support to. Why do all these slaughtered angels gathering all the Caribbean? Why are they coming together? How are you can only see slaughtered angels if you can't see the sealing angel? How can you see the sword and killing and the winds being loose and we can't see where sealing taking place? To be strange, I don't believe the world is one-sided. I always believe what's happening there, there's greater happenings in the spiritual realm. I believe God is right on time with his people. I believe there is something happening on the bride far beyond what I mean the church and religion and some politicians and something to know about. You know, people getting ready to leave the church. I believe you are called, given, already in this age by that steward. Come and receive your wages. Amen. Thus said the Lord of the vineyard, he met me on Sunset Mountain. Say, call it to receive your wages. Amen. Give me the same penny. That is what he was thinking about you. My. Just hear me a few moments. I'm going to take this quickly. About 5 minutes. 5-10 minutes. As best I could and be close. I know it's hard. Please forgive me. The strangers are special for keeping you long. But it should be our one service a week because the curfew and we just try to just get something over that you could study during the week and keep abreast of what is happening. Because our Christians, one of the most alert persons there is. Remember these foolish virgins? They were sleeping, they wake up, but when they go to trim the lamps, they had no oil. But the wise rose up and trimmed the lamp, they woke up. The wise virgin is not sleeping. She's not in an unconscious state of mind. She don't know what is going on. She is waked up. There's a message to wake her up. Her lamps is trimmed. She see the wailing and the darkness and the nationality that is coming. She look there and see the powers that is going to destroy this world. Now Jesus told all them things. Watch how we're going to tie these things there together. From Matthew 20, he said it's going to be in the last hour of the day, the 11th hour worker was to get it. There was going to be corn, it was going to be given to you. I'm thinking of 10 versions. But page 442 to 445, you can read when you go home in the Revelation Jesus Christ series. Now, of course, he's talking about the war here, how there was never a war until 1914, the whole world going to war. Now, of course, that would take a day to bring all that out. They didn't know, but let's ball it and hit the high spot. It was God that stopped it to fulfill his word. There's that angel that stopped it. Those angels went for slaughtering weapons to destroy the whole world. And another angel said, wait a minute! Don't do that! We have got to seal them servants of God in their foreheads first. Now, when did it happen before in the Bible? Do you know another time? Ezekiel 9? We're going to get it later on in another message. I preach another thing over the years, back and forth, but just more and more the time as you look at it. Watch. Ezekiel 9, before he says, begin at my sanctuary. And I said, when judgment is going out in the streets out there, know it already starts in the house of God. Maybe you miss it somewhere along the line. Maybe you fail to see those who could not move on with God no further. Stay drowned, left the church, stay rotten, become stagnated, stay backslide, become formal, just couldn't move on. They stay right there, the world can't overtake them, whatever it is, but they couldn't move on. Because judgment begins in the house of God. And in Ezekiel 9, he said, begin at my sanctuary. But before it would seal them that sigh and cry for the abomination in the city. Now, where is the hour that we're in? He said, where is them people who sigh and cry for the abominations? Where is the people who just saw loves appearing that they hate the filthiness and the abomination? Amen? Now watch. Where that soul travail among the people? Hunger and thirst and crying out. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. Amen. Now watch. You see, people come along the church and go to the crowd back and forth, in just that way. But let me show you something. It is those that cry out for more of his spirit. It is those that cry out for a real revival among God's people. It is those that cry out to see real deliverance come and the Holy Ghost fill up the people. And that's all been trying to do by trying to get them young ones, trying to get the little ones in order, put them in the class, different things, get everything in every aspect of the work of God attended to, and we can all get a little deeper, get our wicks dipped more into the oil, then we can shine a little brighter light. But then what happened? When you get a blessing getter, you just come in and going back out, something is wrong. Because you have burden for nothing that is going on. You didn't identify what is going on. You didn't care whether it fall apart, whether it drop down, whether there are people there, get the Holy Ghost, whatever they didn't get. You into concern. You have tapped little politics and little different things. Little petty jealousies and these things. Now watch. But he said when you start, look for them who are burdened. Crying, sighing, tell us, seal them. You see, the word is there for protection always. Don't make believe I go around and tell you, I feel the spirit, and you are concerned for somebody else. You're not power to pray. You're not power to testify. You're not power to witness. You're not power to come to service on time. You're not power to you know, obey all His word. No, no, you're not going to fool us. The age just passed. 7 years have been open. You're not going to be national age. Calling anybody a believer, that the word have come to give discernment in the church. To try the spirit. Who think the spirit will not spirit fail? God don't care if man feeling get hurt and they want to get exposed. Any spirit that pretends will always get exposed. Amen. Make believers and hypocrites will always get exposed. But there's something genuine in the heart of a believer. But when the word corrected them and see the condition, they thank God for it. It drives them deeper. It gets them more sincere. And make them become more serious with God. Sure. Exactly. Amen. Surely we talk about apostolic days, but Ananias and Sapphira back there. There's one little line the children drop down there. Is that right?
Sure. That's the Bible.
And that same whole penny is given back. If that same penny, all that that go with that penny, you know. Watch. We talk about restoration. I'll restore, saith the Lord. Restore means the thing coming back into original condition. So he said, God who stopped it to fulfill the war. And to soon stop the war, those angels went forth with slaughtering weapons to destroy the whole world. And he said, don't do it until we see the servants of God in our forehead. Now that was just at the breaking of Pentecost back in 1906, 1914, down in there. How many of you know? Is there any old time of Pentecost in here, Yak? Remember them days back in there? Sure. When in that early times, that when the Holy Spirit just began to fall and people begin to receive the Holy Ghost and spoken tongues and pray for the sick and so forth, just begin to happen, or just in between those two ages here, just as it is tuning, the church was real. Get what you're saying here. Just around that time, the Methodists didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. They only knew sanctification. The Lutherans only believed justification. They just by faith. Then Wesley came and said, no, it has more truth than that. Live a holy life. Clean up your life, man. Put away a cigar and throw your drink outside, your social drink. Luther used to smoke a pipe. And take a social drink, you know that? Sure. Brother, because that's justification. He's a messenger. He had the Holy Ghost. See? Then, Wesley come. And all the Lutherans, you know, just living free and just going along and making grace of disgrace and then you heard of this fella, Calvin, but he carried it to the extreme. Says, once you save, you always save. And, you know, what will be, will be. And he took the sovereignty on a extreme and made grace into disgrace. Man with 3, 4, 5 wives. And Wesley knocked that thing in the head. And said, you live without holiness, no man shall see God. Clean up your life. And then, after them Methodists, them elected ones died, Wesley sealed away his group and died, and they all went into glory. You had them former Methodists, very methodical, we still have them today, have the Methodist organization, but that's why it started back there, under John Wesley message. He never started denomination, but when he died, they organized. Luther never started no denomination, but when he died, they organized. And the moment they organized, God moved with somebody else. That is why God is not in no denomination, because each denomination have a full stop to what they believe and they won't accept no more new truth. Amen. Amen. And every time they do that, God leaves them and watch the world comes in and takes it over, because the spirit of God have left is only flesh. Even the Pentecostals, when the Holy Spirit begin to fall among them, in Azusa Street, you read the history, 1906. Son of Paul, they're speaking in tongues and everything else, and they're being slain in the spirit and different things. But when the word of God begin to come and put that thing in order and say, get off the floor, like Paul says, and when one speaking in tongues have two or three to give her wisdom to judge it, and let one give her interpretation, bring the interpretation there and put it on the platform. If you don't come to pass, bring everybody and cast out the evil spirit. Otherwise, the unlearned will come and say, you're all mad. When everybody have a tongue and a psalm, but I show you a more excellent way. Is that right? When one like Paul, when Paul's doctrine came back in the last days, with Paul's gospel, what did they do?
They rejected.
Exactly. And look at them today. It's dead. It's pumped up with all kind of man-made programs and different things without revelation of what's happening. Just giving out books and tracts and No message?
Accept Jesus Christ and save and that's it. You want to go from there? Just make a church member after. No revelation.
Why? Because God has moved. You don't organize in God. No. Because God was restoring back His church. He was bringing back the truth. Men was raising up and speaking, and sometimes one comes out from a different system to your system. Sometimes one comes from a different neighborhood to your neighborhood. Sometimes one comes from a different background to your background. And if you have the denominational spirit, it'll be hard to accept. Because the Baptist could only accept it if you come from the Baptist church. The Methodist could only accept it if you come from the Methodist church. The Pentecostal could only accept it if you come from the Pentecostal church. That's why they reject Jesus, because He wasn't a Sadducee and He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't from the Herodians. He came out from the organizations.
What?
We must never make that mistake. We must be able to recognize when God is sending something in the earth. To see it. To see God approving it. To see God standing by it. To see God honoring it. To see it matching God's word. And regardless of how we feel, if we have any negative or contrary feeling, that's going to take it away. And give us a heart to accept what God is doing. Otherwise, you can never prosper. We can never move on with God.
Exactly right.
So, you find the Bible, anybody move on with God when they rejected what God is doing in their generation. They always tried to hold on. Jesus said, you do garnish too many prophets and they're and you're full of dead men's bones. He said, after they come and go, and you kill them. See? He said, who stoned the prophets? He's from Abel to the righteous Zechariah who died on the altar right here. He said, you and your fathers killed them. Stone every one of them. See? Exactly right. And he told the parable, this man, the tenant, he leaves the vineyard. He sent his servants. They stone and kill every one of them. Finally, he sent his own son. And they plan to kill the son and take it over. Is that right?
He preached it too.
So watch. So right here, just at the breaking of Pentecost, when that was up 1918 rather, The revelation of the Holy Spirit coming back in the church to be taught as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was not being taught as the baptism. Some people have entered into an experience. It wasn't a real big thing yet. It was just in a couple of churches. They were seeing a movement of the Spirit. It was a changing of ages. It was a hard time. Some people were calling for analysis. They were watching close. You had all the inspectors inspecting it. You know anything that comes up, especially if God don't tell the people for them personally in a dream. And the dreamers didn't get a dream about it. And the deep thinkers didn't think about it. You know what will happen? When a man come and proclaim it, the kind of strange to them, they watch it, they'll check it out, they'll carry it back in the laboratory, they'll see their good friend go accept it first, they'll see who goes along it, before they come out and identify themselves. Well, all them years was going on, there's a couple of churches. India was really breaking into what was happening before it came a real worldwide move. And when that experience was coming, men begin to get back a revelation. John Smith taught a revelation of water baptism, and that's how the Baptist came out. John Smith started it, because he called himself Baptist, because they started baptized. Because Luther and Wesley, all of them were sprinkling people in water, baptizing them like the Catholic baptism. And then John Smith caught the revelation that to be baptized means to bury. It means to immerse. So he started immersing, but he still was immersing in titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Then the Jesus name Pentecostals, they caught a revelation, Witness is in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, repentance and remission is to be preached in my name. So they start baptizing people in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And yet, it had nobody really, anybody can name Jesus. But the Bible said, this Jesus was made both Lord and Christ. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and his name shall be called Jesus. So the name of Father is Lord, name of Son is Jesus, and Holy Ghost is Christ. So he said, go and be baptized in the name singular. Not names, not three people. If it's three people, it's names. Go and be baptized in the name. And when he sealed them with the name in their forehead, repentance, remission of sins, and baptism be tied all together. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then they went out and said, cast out devils. Is that right?
Exactly. Why? It was revealed to them who he was. And they beat them and said, don't preach in this name. Is that right? That beat up every devil in the land. Through political powers, religious powers, everything. They said, don't preach in that name. And when they beat them, they get more boldness. They get a second filling again. And they went forth in boldness, still preaching that name. Now watch. Now here it was, it began to come back in the church. And he said, behold, I have set before you an open door, which is what I'm going to bring to you, where the name was going to come back. And when that name was going to come back, the seal of God was coming back. To loose the Holy Spirit, the name was going to be revealed. See? To loose the Holy Spirit, that they could be sealed. In an age where everybody's calling themselves, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Jewish, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, I'm this, I'm a Catholic, I'm an Anglican. When they have all these blasphemous names, the Bible calls blasphemous names, he is going to write his name in their forehead. They're going to have the revelation of who he is. And he's going to show them their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because the family in heaven and in earth is named after the Lord Jesus Christ. When God made Adam, he called his name Adam. And he called their name Adam. Both Adam and Eve's name was Adam. Is that right? The bride who was in Adam unexpressed, that was taken out and revealed in another body and presented him to as wife, was named Adam. But when she was deceived by the serpent, is that right? Then God say, from now, she shall be in subjection to you. Is that right? After she was deceived, she lose her place. There's co-equal. He put her under subjection. And her name was called Eve, which means the mother of all living. All living. Both false and true. Cain and Abel. Both wheat and tares was coming out of that womb. And Jesus said, both wheat and tares grew up, but in the end, he's going to gather the wheat and he's going to gather the tears, and the tears will burn. So watch. So in that day, when all of this happened in the earth, that spirit is going to be moving the earth, putting that revelation back into the hearts of the people. And that's why we have so much strangers and new ones inside of here. Now when you see all these things happening outside the earth there, them winds being let loose again, the whole world under tension, not for me, that one crisis goes down and seems to diffuse, another one raises up somewhere. And there's certain crises that don't go down at all. Economic crisis, global ecological crisis, world financial crisis. There is crisis that's on a global scale that is not going down until that new civilization comes back. Do you realize how much this whole industrial age and this science civilization depend upon oil? You know that? Right in the Persian Gulf, where the river Euphrates and the river Tigris hit the Gulf flows, you go back to Genesis 2. Four rivers come out of Eden. See? Having one head and partner four. And the four names, one was Hiddekel, one was Euphrates, one was Pishon and Gihon. Is that right? And Hiddekel is the Tigris River. And the Euphrates River, you watching the map and see where them two is. They flow, both of them flow right through Iraq into the Persian Gulf. The hottest and the most trouble-filled spot in the whole world. Right where the oil is. Right where the Garden of Eden was, before it passed through Eden. Where that warfare there since Cain and Abel. And all this thing here. You mean one man in a little state gathered the whole world together? You know why? Europe, America, and Japan. And which is pretty major industrial power. You have West Germany, you have Italy, you have Britain. All of them depend on that oil from the Middle East. They're interested in the oil. That's what people will get killed inside here. Their societies will go on. What shall it suffer man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? It still makes the words of the Savior true.
I'm trying to hammer in some of these things here. I'm trying to show you in the midst of all these things that happen, while he's holding them winds, that they all don't destroy the earth. He is moving right there in this hour, bringing back the revelation of his name, the revelation of his word, with what it is, back amongst his people, that he might gather up his elect and seal them away before these things fully let loose. And he's going to give them back the same pen, the same baptism of the Holy Spirit that he gave them. Get to me. A few moments. I said before times, but please hear me. I'm thinking about the strangers. I preached this many times in the church before. Way back, as far as 1980, you see the first track and see where all this was written. But I'm here trying for the younger ones and the new ones to bring this in, because many people don't understand what's happening. There are little things in the country recently. They don't know what it is. They call it crisis, little curfew, different things. Everybody having a natural realm. But when all them disturbances begin to come in, look at the powers. There was a political, religious, military, and for economic reasons. That's why I'm watching. It brings all the Caribbean into unity, bring all the peace forces, everything at moving in the region. Slaughtering angels. They come to preach the gospel, you know. They come with military power to keep stability. Save resources, save this, save places, and burning down different things. I'm here trying to push.
They have their part to do, I have my part to do.
Give it back the same penny. And that's why many of God's people tied up in organizations. Many of God's people under all kinds of denominational influences. Many of God's people under all kinds of little free thinking and little philosophical ideas. Many people looking for something real and they can't come across it. They don't know what they're really looking for. That's why they still have a problem. But the Holy Spirit, as certain times stand on this platform, is moving in the earth, fixing things. Let me tell you. There is people that was yet to come in, which I firmly believe. That's why this place didn't go into chaos. Yet to be sealed away. Still to be sealed. They could be, maybe they're not even they come from the world, they could be righteous among us, but yet not sealed. Because the slaughtering angels cannot destroy until he seals them in their forehead. And he said, touch them not. Amen? Okay. Turn with me to Revelation 9. Under the fifth trumpet. Sometimes when I pick up these subjects back and forth, I always think, I say, well, you know, if you just speak it out, many will understand right away, so you need to spend time and open it up and explain certain things, and that's what I'm trying to do. Now watch verse 4 here.
And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing nor any tree. We just read that in Revelation 7. But only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Right here under the fifth trumpet, God is saying, these men who have the seal of God in their forehead, don't touch them. Don't hurt the earth under the seal of the tree. Many had to die because over, I think it was, I can't call it statistics right now, but it was over 20 million people died in World War I. 15,000 a day was dying in China in famine after World War I. Then all the disease from the poison gas and all these things that was spread and killed out. Influenza killed over 20,000. The plague that dropped right after the Methodist age. We have a different plague now drop after this age. See? God always sends a temporary judgment when after he seals away his elect. We know them things to be true. And here God is saying, see, don't touch them under that first war. Who was the people who had the seal of God after World War I?
But the fifth trumpet is World War I.
Whoa, 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 by reading the last three trumpets. 50 and 70. Right there under World War I, he says, don't touch, hurt the earth nor the sea. We see exactly there was commanded not to do it. He says, kill, but don't touch those men who have that seal. Don't touch them. Who is them men who had that seal? But Abraham says, Smith, Wigglesworth, Charles Price, all them, they died within a day. After they died, he was in the field. In other words, it had those men who was carrying that seed to bring the elect out in their time before the gospel could come to another age. He says, after Moody and them die, then the Holy Ghost begin to fall among the Pentecostals. The old Methodist reformers died out. Then a new age was coming. Then you had William Seymour, you had Frank Barkerman, you had all the people on Azusa Street begin to get into the Spirit and get the Holy Spirit. Then when all them try to die off, then you had Malachi 4:5 on the field. A one man move now, my servant at supper time. You understand what I'm saying? After Paul died off, then you watch. John, after John and Paul came and die, Irenaeus come on the scene. After Irenaeus them die off, watch, Martin rise on the scene. And so it has been coming always. That man is anointed and sent forth with the word to preach that truth, to call God's elect in the time that he's living in when God gave him that truth. Now I see many people, they don't understand. When a man is genuinely called and placed by God with the divine revelation, given the word in his mouth, he has the word that's going to bring life to God's people. Because Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. He has the thing that's going to set those people free. Because God has a program. God has a way to do it. God has an order. God has the instrument in his hand. Exactly. There are people walk in and walk out many times and they listen, but don't listen close. They don't understand what is happening. They don't see what is happening. So right here, it showed after World War I, people was being sealed, not Jews, because the Jews will be sealed in the last half of the 70th week. Is that right? So who was these Gentiles being sealed after World War I? Because under World War I, on that fifth trumpet, here, right around 1918, men was getting sealed and they was not supposed to die through that war. Some could have been drafted in the army, but they couldn't go. War could have hit certain countries where revival was, but it couldn't come. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Why? Because that angel was there on the earth moving among his people, getting them sealed up. Why didn't that prophet you say they have snipers with infrared and but they can't in them communist countries trying to shoot me in the night? He said, but they can't touch me until my time is come. Why? Why he wasn't afraid? You know why? Because in the word, he saw that angel in the pulpit had more authority than an angel in heaven. He saw how sure God was when a man is anointed and sent for, nothing can touch him until that work is finished. The angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. My angel, he say, will go with you, the never failing presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh my. The angel directed Peter in service. Look at that. He went with Paul and them. He went with Philip. He was showing them what to do. He was showing them where to go. He was showing them who to preach to. He was changing the itineraries. Is that right? Read in the Bible, Acts. How did Paul end up to Europe in Philippi? He was trying to go another place, a bit near somewhere else. And the vision man said, no, go this way. When he went that way, he ended up in prison. But yet, you know, under him by the power of vision, I can't stay in here. Amen! The jail has to move back. Glory! Brother, when you watch and see the power, the faith that laid in that apostolic church, when they get that penny, when they were sealed with that name, nothing could stand before those people. And the same way, God, who have been opening up and sealing up and bringing to his people through them times. We hear, we read little stories. So now we hardly even go back to the depression was. I mean, the famine, depression, and war always follows when the message is rejected. How many know that? I took those things right here in the Bible already and show you. And I said that you're going to have social unrest in this country because the message is turned down. Famine, inflation, depression. Go back on them tapes. Behold, the second world total country. You see what was spoken there. Show me when that time comes, the time of deliverance of God people.
That's why in this little church here, when we see what we have seen over the years, when we follow what we have followed over the years, when we see God bring us step by step through His Word, when we see how God has never failed to cover this scene and open the Word to show us where we are going, to get us ready, how in this hour when we are seeing on such a great scale, anywhere you turn, the things that rise up, when you look, what do you see these things are? Could you see the powers in the earth that is dominating the present hour? Look at it right here. All these things are happening just to reveal the powers that is dominating, the channel and the methods through which they are working, what they are employing to crush and to bring to naught anything that would contravene their laws or anything. And you see how the Holy Spirit is trying to get the elect ready for His coming. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming soon. You believe that? I don't know if we're going to maybe try to continue on for a little while, maybe do one service a week, and or if we're going to try to make a change in between, but you know, you look very settled, and I trust it's helping you in one way or the other. That when you have the time to stay home and spend with your family and get your home established and get your life there closer to your family, these things, and where you're going to truly get under the burden of your individual responsibility, you know, for your home. And when we come together as a unit, as a body of believers, then we are all aware of why we gather and what we are working to do. And them that is left to come in, them that the Holy Spirit must bring before that door swings shut. I don't have time to take it this morning, but I had to still to go to Matthew 7:13. But I give you one of the scriptures where it says, "Straight is the gate." Jesus said, "Straight is the gate." S-T-R-A-I-T. Read it in the Bible. Not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. S-T-R-A-I-T. Read it in Luke 13. He says, "Enter in at the straight way." He said, because when He come and shut that door, and you call and says, who is going to come in? Because straight means a body of water. In other words, entering at the water gate. What is the water gate? It was the revelation of water baptism coming back in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being revealed back after World War I, bringing back Acts 2:38. To get back the seal of God. That the same seal they were sealed with after the Son of Man message, they're going to come back and get the same seal in the last days, when the same sun that was in the east, the same Son of Man is revealed in the west. Before the slaughtering angels like Ezekiel 9, Titus and come again. Amen? And then we also go to Matthew 25, where he said, them foolish virgins, they missed that door. They missed that revelation. Because it didn't have the Holy Spirit. Didn't have wisdom to catch it. And then that door was shut. Because when they came in, the door was shut. But when the bridegroom came, them that were ready went in. And the door was shut. But he said, behold, I set before you an open door. And he's going to bring in all that had to be sealed through that door and then seal them away. And after you seal them away, then that door is going to be shut. And the foolish virgins, nice, sanctified, clean people, but dilatory. You know, a little careless. Ain't too interested in things of God. Have time for a lot of worldly pleasure. And there's a quarter of in your feet and all this kind of having a good time. Entangling the affairs of this life. He says, that's the kind that misses the rapture. Because when they come in, they was not ready. And they could not go in. Friends, is right that they come in. And that's what it is. Because Matthew 25, you know, something struck me there in that Matthew 25. Over the years, I heard Brother Bram say back and forth, them foolish virgins come right up to the seven church ages together, them two groups. And, you know, you look at it in this hour, it seems a little different. And something opened up to me there very nice, which I don't have time to go into this morning, maybe next week we take it. Bringing that when that door that was open is shut now, because that door is going to be shut, and then them
who missed that door, who missed that revelation, who was dilatory when all that was happening. It was all wrong. But then they lacked that oil. They lacked the Holy Spirit. They was not sealed with the seal of God. They never entered in, and they was caught in the darkness. They was caught in the destruction, and they had to give their own lives. And that is why, with these things happening, you know, you look and see God moving here, and those things hit this country, and gonna go to such a proportion. If the Holy Spirit didn't stop it and draw the line, so that's enough. You think what would have happened to his elect? But he's interested in getting them in getting them ready. That's what I'm saying. When you gotta realize, you don't play. You recognize what he's doing for you. Catch it by the word. Catch it by the happenings around you in the present hour. And see if God don't have a hand in these things. See if church is going to church to keep our attendance. Or see if church is God getting people ready to get out of here. And see if the things that is to come against the bride is not nothing to put into effect. Let me tell you, it's in effect, but it's not being used in a religious way as yet. Right now it's being used in a political realm, but it's going to be used for the purposes of religion just now. For the first time in this country since 1962, 28 years, and you're not going to have no big fete this independence. You're going to have an interreligious service. See? So when you look and you see the hour, and you see the moving of the influences, look in your Bible and see what time is it. What time is it, sirs? What time is it? The government saw it fit to call upon all the different religions to call upon their different gods together and have a great feast. Oh my. Can't you see why I'm happy? Because we have accepted the word of the Lord. The revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. We're going to get more anointed, but more. I just want to start bringing them 11-hour Gentile workers now. When God marks them and God set them aside, when he shows the validity of them, when he guarantees that they will not be destroyed in what is happening, it is not going to affect them. They are mine. Touch not mine anointed. Amen. When God himself has come down to take them away. My brother, my sister, make your calling and your election sure. Know that you are one of them that's going in. Don't play church now. There's the hour. There's a place to see God's word. Not a creed or a religious group. You are an individual with God's word. See the hour you're living in. See what God promised for this hour. See the thing that's happening. See where it fits in the Bible. See how late it is. See what God is requiring of his church. See how we must stand in the midst of all this adversity. See what is all being climaxed into. And may we find grace and favor in his sight. And may these times be deemed precious in our hearts. When we could sit in a hot building all sweaty and warm and sticky, and then going back home and carrying the precious word in our hearts, knowing the end of all things is come and is nearer than when you first believe. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in this evil day. And it's good for us to get accustomed to not seeing one another regularly. But may we never take our eyes upon him, off of him. May we see him at our right hand before us always. Walking close to him where there's nothing between. And brother, when that trumpet sound, if that's the next time we'll see one another, may when we look to the right and look to the left, we see him. With that mark in your forehead, I'm just symbolically I'm speaking, glistening, knowing that you have been sealed. Mark, set aside. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Back in Egypt, he wouldn't let death touch them. because he put a mark on the houses. Back in Ezekiel 9, he will let death touch it because he put a mark in the forehead. Back in Revelation 10, he will let death touch it because he put a mark there. Back in Revelation 9, he will let death touch them because he put a mark there. Political disturbances in the earth. Men wanting to do things and change the situation, do all kinds of things. Radical, extreme, different ideologies, going for the slaughtering weapons, UCs and SMGs and SLRs and all different type of things, slaughtering weapons in their hand. But there's a war with an inkhorn writer to mark you in your forehead. To write his name inside of you. To put a revelation to seal you up. Let us all stand. Faith of our fathers living still, I believe it, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Friends, isn't that a new gospel? Strangers, visitors? Isn't that some false teaching? Isn't that some strange fabrication? It is the faith of our fathers. It is the original apostolic doctrine. It is the Bible. It's God's word. Without a denomination, without any denominational strings attached. It's Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh my, before we leave this place, if you have not fully accepted him, if you have sit here and heard his word, it caused you to consider and take earnest heed. You realize so many things are happening and you ain't ready. Right here in this spot of ground. Right here today, friend. God is gracious. He's mindful of you. Maybe all this delaying in this heat to preach the word and try to break it down and bring it close to you. Bring it relevant to this present hour. Was the Holy Spirit laying back to get a hold of your attention? To let you see, it is Jesus Christ today, in the now, friends. May we not turn that away. But may we be willing in our hearts to draw close to him, to tend up our hearts. We may not have heard it that way before, not saying there's anything special or trying to exalt any knowledge. We're just trying to say we hear things different ways at different times. And sometimes we so set in our own way. The Bible said the people in Berea search the scriptures to see whether these things be so or not. May we have the attitude, before we disagree, to search the scriptures to see if these things are so. That original apostolic faith is here again. God has sent forth a message by a prophet to bring us back to the original apostolic doctrine. The wicked live the way the apostles live, believe what they believe, walk in the truth that they walked in, baptize the way they baptize, just to obey God's word, friend. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Faith of our fathers lives in spite of dungeon, spite of dungeon, fire and sword. But oh, how our hearts beat high with joy. Oh, whenever we hear that glorious word, that glorious word, faith of our Father, who
Holy Saint, we will be oh, just look at them who had that seal. Our Father's chained in prison's dark.
Father's chained in prison's dark.
Oh, we're still in heart and conscience free.
And conscience free.
How sweet would be their children's fate?
How sweet would be their
children's fate? Oh, if they like them could die for thee. Faith of our Father's holy. Oh, what persecution they suffered.
We will be true to thee. Amen.
Faith of our Father's we will love. What a challenge. Oh, both friend and foe. Oh, may God power His Holy Spirit. And preach thee too, and love knows how. Oh, by kindly words and a virtuous life.
And virtuous life. Faith of our Father's holy.
Oh, we will be true. Oh my, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just think soberly today. Was all those things that happened recently right in this country and even now just coming around the face of the globe as we see it rising everywhere? Was all these things just coincidence, friends? Was it just some winds that blow by? Some winds of war and strife? Did it just stop like that and everything just came to a peace again, a calm? Because there was nothing no one else could do? Or can you look in God's word and see that in that unseen realm there's one who says, hold those winds, don't let it blow until we have seen. Can you see God have a reason for stopping these things? Wars and rumors of wars. Look at the whole world being pulled right to that place for oil. Tensions. Tempers. People just become statistics. Oh my, let us look and see with eyes of faith. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened this morning. And while those things are happening, while them slaughtering angels gathering their slaughtering weapons everywhere, Friends, where is that seal of the angel, that seal of God? Where is that man, that inkhorn writer? In the last hour of the day, there was supposed to be one. There was supposed to be an angel with that seal, moving among the elected. When we look, what do we see, friends? Can we recognize God's program for this hour? Is that difficult for us to see? I pray today, stranger visitor, that we take a good, clear look into God's word in the hour and compare them together. See the spiritual application behind all the things that is happening. Maybe truly desire others do not passing. Do not pass me by. And you would ask him today, Lord, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by, Lord. Lord, I hear, I don't want to be destroyed in this coming destruction. I realize this world, this country, this time could change so suddenly. But his word says, though 10,000 may follow one side, 1,000 the other side. And will it come nigh thee? The plague will not touch thee. When I see the blood, when I see that seal, I'll pass over you. Without that token, without that seal, without that lamp in your oil, without that same penny, friends, you'll perish as sure as anything else. We must have his Holy Spirit this hour. As we can recognize and sense him passing by, may we reach out, pass me not this morning, Lord. Oh, gracious God, as your Holy Spirit is present here and you are dealing with many hearts of your children, and making plain the revelation of your word, and God, I had to just cut the message in half because of the time, and it's so hot, it's so uncomfortable. But I trust that through the divine operation of your Holy Spirit, as you begin to explore this great subject that speaks of your coming, speaks of this last day, God, may it become clear to the hearts of your children the hour that we are living in and where we are headed, Father. And I pray through the divine provision that you have made, that we can enter in and be saved, sealed, shut away, Lord, like it was in the days of Noah, like it was in that first Exodus, Lord, like it was back in the time of Ezekiel 9. God, your people will recognize you have made the same provision for them again today. God, if there are hearts that's crying out and hungering for that, if there are those that sigh and cry, Lord, Lord, I want that blessed assurance. They see the life going one way and see a world requiring something else. They just see that they can't line up, Lord. God, if you don't intervene in the life, it just seems that they're going to be swept away with a tide of demon power. Maybe the crisis is rising in the homes of others, Lord. God, the hour becomes so much more challenging. Lord, it just seems that they're being devastated. They don't know what to do and how to stand. But Lord, as they realize you reach out a hand to them today, and they are willing, Lord, to step out and walk towards you, I pray, Lord, that you would meet with them, and even them, oh God, that might be fallen down, all gloomy, Lord, all beaten down, and like that man that Jesus told about, fell among thieves and was wounded and lost much blood, but he's picked up and he's brought to the innkeeper, where oil and wine can be poured into his wounds and he can be doctored up and restored back to his health. He might be in great need of divine healing for his soul today, Lord. They've been robbed and stripped, morally broken and spiritually stripped of everything they might have had. Oh God, won't you hear the cry? As one, Lord, would reach out to you.
Let the Holy Spirit, Father, just speak to them in their hearts. And they will not miss your divine presence, your person being here. They will not be unrecognized to them, Lord. But they will realize you've come back for the honest in heart. All that the Father had given me will come. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I will lose none of them, you said. Search them out, Lord. Search out every heart today. If what they have heard maybe they don't understand because I'm a poor representative of yours, not to be able to put it across right or in a way that it can be clearly presented to them. God, I pray that you still would find another way, Lord, to give witness to your word in their hearts. You said, my sheep know my voice. That is your word, and that was spoken today, Father. Let it not leave them, but let it wake them up to recognize their day and their message, to recognize the thoughts that you think towards them, to recognize, Lord, you want to give them the same blessing, the same apostolic blessing. There will be another Ephesians. Alpha will become Omega in reality in the hearts of your people standing present. Oh God, may you work and bring these things to pass. We commit your people into your hands, Father. And as we leave this place, going back to our homes, not gathering together until another week would pass, Lord. I pray when we come again, we'd come with the freshness of being in prayer, of being under your presence, of being abiding in your word and of fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We'd come with praise and expectation. We'd come, Lord, God, with great anticipations. And then while we are absent one from the other throughout the course of this week, may your Holy Spirit, Lord, Father, lead us and direct us in the paths of service where we can be used of thee, Lord, to speak a word like they learn in due season, to give witness of your love to one, Lord, that may be out there in darkness. God, to be on our knees in prayer for your church and your people. God, to be involved in the activity to see your work, even the building, be advanced. God, may we find our spirit so caught up and involved in the things that you have revealed unto us as your will and is pleasing and acceptable in your sight and will contribute to the advancement of your kingdom. May you grant it, Lord. Keep us united in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace, in the fellowship of your Spirit. May your grace be shed abroad in every heart, Father. Remember our little children. Remember the trustees. Remember the deacons, Lord. God, the workers, the musicians, song leaders, the helps, the governments. All that labor, oh God, in your service. This is the hour. And you are going to give them their wages, Lord. I pray to be full, pressed down, running over. I pray to be such a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire that will completely loose them from every grip of the enemy, Lord. Oh God, even unto a new body. Grant it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray and ask this blessing. Amen. This time, while we remain reverently in prayer, we have a dedication. Like to dedicate the baby quickly. This is Emily Simon. I have a little daughter, Esther.
Sue Ann, she would like to dedicate unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, while we're in His presence like this, how we want to know that there is nothing that is displeasing unto Him in our lives. There's nothing that we see that we can do to get more involved in His work. See His church come to receive a real deliverance. We that make up that body of believers, how we want to put everything into it. Amen. Let us pray and ask God's blessing and dedication upon the dear little girl, Esther Swan, young girl here. I guess, seeing the time we live in, the parent just design her heart to have her children. All that's connected to her be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. This girl has not been dedicated as a baby, because maybe the light of God's word have really struck home in their hearts, and the parent is responsible. But now, coming to the knowledge of God's truth, she has so want to know that she's under the abiding care of the Holy Spirit. Our gracious Father, this little Esther, Sue Ann, that stands here with her mother before the sacred desk, being brought to be dedicated for a life of service. The young girl, maybe not reached to the age of accountability, but growing up under the supervision of the parent, who is a Christian, Lord, and walking in the light of your word, and has a little daughter, together with her in the presence of the Lord, in the house of God, sitting under the presence of the Holy Spirit, hearing the word day after day. But in her heart she feels moved to dedicate little Esther, Lord. God, I pray that little Esther stand here in her heart, there'd be a desire, Lord, to serve you. Even this little tender age, remember Samuel in the Bible? Remember how he preserved the life of little Moses, who by the prayer of faith of his mother was placed in that Nile River full of those hungry crocodiles, but yet the presence and the power of God led him to safety, preserve his life and raise him up for the service of God. So you're still the same, Father. And I pray, oh God, that little desire would grow and grow into such a divine revelation that as it unfolds in the life and begins to influence our little Esther, Lord, she would grow up in the fear of God, in the knowledge and grace of God. She would grow under the admonition of a parent, and God, her little life, like a tender flower, would begin to unfold its beauty that you give, Lord, through your word to the hearts of your elect. And that little light, Lord, would shine for everyone to see. By her living, even this tender age, would bring glory and praise unto your name. For it is written in your word out of the mouth of babes, the perfected praise of ordained strength. So God, we bring her before you for dedication. We ask a blessing upon her. Grant her health and strength. You watch over, protect her, keep her from all evil. And the guide and influence of the Holy Spirit will rest with me and abide with her. We dedicate her to you by faith, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for a life of service. In Jesus' name we pray and ask this blessing. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. Pass me not with gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Oh, friends, it's a serious hour. And I don't never want that effect of the lateness of the hour, of the seriousness of God's word, of the end of all things in at hand, to be lost from you. If you find your life just becoming normal, there's no desperation, there's no desire for prayer, know that you are coming short. You need to have your lamp trimmed and filled with oil. If you have a desire for the world and the things of the world, know he that loved the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in his heart. How would I know, my brother, my sister, That word would be like everyday living for you. It'd be an automatic thing. It wouldn't be a fussing and struggling to live this life. That word would be quick inside and just flowing out. There'll be a love to be in the house of God. You can't wait for the doors to open. There'll be a love for one another, for His truth. A desire to be so involved in the things of God. To labor for meat that perisheth not. Oh, it's on and on we could go, but you know, you are a Christian for many years, many of you. But for those now coming along and those young ones, don't just say, I'm baptizing, that's it. Friends, get the Holy Spirit. Be filled with His Spirit, the lamb's trim and clay. The message of the hour is the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be sealed with the seal of God. Without a token, you'll perish, friends. With all my heart, I'm trying to preach that to you, to convince you of that. That God is here, His presence is here. If you can find a hungry heart, if He can convince you by His word, if you can surrender to Him, you realize He is so close to you to give unto you that which will cease your wandering days, will bring you to rest. As you saw my brothers here, I didn't see for a long time. We all have our struggles. We all have our hard times, our hours of temptation, our battles. The devil bluffs you, make you feel you're alone going through that many times. Don't be so naive to believe the devil's lie. There ain't but one Christian that is fighting a bloody war. God may give you a few moments of rest before you're right back in the heat of the battle again. Because it's a desperate fight to take this land, friends. To sweep this message into the coming of Jesus Christ. We are calling but to work but 1 hour. But it's going to take everything that we have to get the job done. When you leave this place today, take these words with you. Sit in the quietness in your home. Take the Bible back out. Many of the scriptures I was quoted, think about it. Many of the conditions I was referred to and the hour, the things in the church, in the house of God is happening. Think about it. Maybe you might have not paid no attention to it. Maybe you might not have looked at it closely. We might be just there, dull, thinking nothing is going on. Oh, it's so much happening, friends. We can hardly keep up with it. But may we find that place for fellowship with Him. May we find that place to have that blessed sweet communion. And Paul says, making a melody in your heart, singing psalms, singing hymns, creating an atmosphere, keeping His presence close to you. While you're doing the dishes in the kitchen, while you're washing the clothes, while you're up to the job, making a melody in your heart, drawing His presence, knowing there's a power in praising God. Amen. Glory. Pass me now, O Jesus. Oh, hear my humble cry, Lord. Oh, while another, while another. Oh, don't just sing the words in nobody's memory, but let it be a prayer in your heart, full of faith. Oh, sincerely. Let the Holy Spirit come down this song. Oh, hear my humble cry, Lord. Humble cry. Oh, do you have a cry in your heart for more of Him this morning? Why? And if you want to stay back for a little prayer, you want to come forward. If there's one of you might want a special prayer. There's ministers, there's deacons, there's different ones that are praying with you. If you want to stay and pray in your seat, whatever it is, just worship Him. Trust in only Thy merit, Lord.
Oh, would I see that face? Oh, heal my wounded, broken spirit, Lord. Some of you might be cold, backslidden, out to the house of God. You want to come and be pray. You want to come to the altar. Renew your pledge back to God where you first met Him. Don't be ashamed. Be sincere with God. Do these things. Let Him see. Let Him know you mean business with Him. There's a real God, friends, and He wants to meet with you. The word has been preached. Now minister back to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it needs more than simple little request and say, remember me. It needs to get humble. Get tender in your heart before Him. Oh, let me at thy throne of mercy. That's where we all want to come. That's the place we want to find. Oh, find a sweet relief. I'm going to joke on for you. Don't make no long drawn out prayer, just you just pray with them. Has God blessing upon them. They know they have to repent. And you that sit on this seat, just have a prayer in your heart for them too. Many of them lost their fellowship with God, need a closer walk, need strength. Devil trying to sift them like wheat. Jesus said, Peter, he said, I pray for you. Satan tried to sift you like wheat. Oh, the challenge is great, friends. It's not a shameful thing to come here. It's an honest thing. It's a sincere thing to come seeking help. Because there is help from the Holy Spirit this morning. Savior. Oh, hear my humble cry. Oh, cry. But on the right thing, just come and help pray with some of these people here for me, please. Do not pass me by, not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, the spring of all my comfort. Just help pray with them. Come on. Whom have I beside you, Lord? Whom have I beside you? Oh, whom in heaven but thee? Oh, Savior, Savior. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Oh, hear my humble cry. Oh, cry. While on earth is dark. Oh, oh, let me at that throne of mercy after you've been praying for you back in your seat quietly. If you want to keep praying, you can keep praying in your seat. Just keep in consecration. Find a sweet relief. Lord, save your sinner.
Trusting only in thy merit, trusting only in thy merit. What I see, thy faith. Heal my wounded and broken spirit. Lord, save me by thy grace, be by thy grace. Not, O gentle Savior, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Oh, hear my humble cry. While another's thou art smiling, while another's thou art smiling, please do not pass me by. Oh, let it be sincere. Oh, Savior, 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 Savior. Yeah, my humble cry. Trusting only in thy merit, trusting only in thy merit. What I see, hear my wounded broken spirit. See by thy grace, Savior, of the crown, to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Let's surrender our all unto Jesus Christ this morning as we heard his word. All to Jesus, let's sing. Really mean it from the depths of your heart. Let's surrender all unto him. Amen.